Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 15th of August, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the following. We will have a guest that will join us shortly, Patricia Aiken from out in Nevada, to share with us some information that's heavy on her heart. We'll also talk about the financial reset. If you have access to a $100 bill, you might want to keep that handy. Some of the latest stuff being put out by Q, the health and other risks associated with the new Internet of Things and 5G, other current events, and of course the implementation of conferences. If the listeners have a need, contact me and we'll set up private conference calls with any number of people you would like. And it's because of the times, folks. A lot of times you need fellowship, discipleship. You may not have folks in your general area close to you for that. That's what the conference calls are for. And if conference calls aren't your cup of tea, then we'll chat on the phone. As we get into the call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I do want to remind callers that when you're wanting to hear the program, that box that appears on your screen, there's a phone icon there. You need to click on it. If you don't click on it, then the audio portion is not heard over your speakers. Also, if you're using your phone and you wish to make a comment or question, since we are in the question and answer mode for this meeting, you would use star 6. If you're online listening to the program, then you would use the Q&A, which stands for questions and answers, the Q&A button. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Again, that is .net. And there we keep a active schedule of upcoming calls. We also have archives of past calls and past radio shows. A lot of information there on folks that want to do research into the Bible studies, why we believe the way we do. Also, there's pages there with health information, which I consider to be extremely important in this day and age, certainly as important as anything else. So keep that in mind. We do give a shout out and a thank you to our many listeners and those that support us from time to time. It is greatly appreciated. Ezekiel 25:14. This verse is going to become very, very relevant in the very near future. And as we discuss some of the current events, you'll see why. Ezekiel 25:14 says, "And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom." And those of us who study this message know who Edom Esau is. "Upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel." You notice he didn't say, "my people the world," "my people the Chinese," "my people the Japanese," "my people the Mexicans," "my people the Jews," etc., etc., etc. The sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. So by his hand he will lay vengeance on Edom Esau. "And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai," which means God Almighty or Almighty King. This can be backed up at Obadiah verse 18, where Jacob and Joseph are a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau is as stubble. So what's the Bible telling us? The Bible is saying that Jacob Israel, his people, at some point become a flame and a fire. Fire is always a biblical term for judgment because it consumes, it burns up. If you're impure in any way, the fire will consume you to utter destruction. If you are of Yahweh, if you are righteous, the fire cleanses you but does not overcome you. How many times did Christ tell us to be, what? Overcomers. When you see the persecutions, when you see the hardships, yeah, they may tweak you, they may cleanse you, they may irritate you from time to time. However, they do not overcome you. And if you can take your punishment like a man or a woman, you come out the other end a better person, ready to do the work of our Heavenly Father. Cleansed of your dross, cleansed of your impurities, so that you are a workman who is worthy to do his bidding on this earth. We have a formidable enemy against us, folks. They control vast amounts of wealth, property, businesses, banks, armies, police forces. You want to do battle with that and not be at your fighting weight, not at your best, with your best armor? Think about it, folks. This is the battle of all battles. We have lived to see the point that the ancients wished they could see, the end of the earth age, when the children of light do battle with the children of darkness. Glory, glory to Yahweh our Father. You're seeing it take place. It's happening all over the earth. It's not happening just here in the United States. It's happening everywhere. And just before broadcast time, I was trying to catch up on some of the latest news and did not have enough time to finish it, so I'll finish it later. But the gist of these reports coming in say that the economic changeover is about to take place. In fact, it may have already started, but typically of things that are this big, it's like a big boulder. You start pushing a big boulder. When you first start leaning into it, it takes everything you can do to just budge it. But once it starts moving, your effort becomes less until finally you get that ball rolling downhill and you don't have to do much at all except stand back and watch. Kind of reminds me of the story of my father when he was a young boy in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, and him and some of his buddies saw one of those big drainage tiles, you know what I'm talking about, that the street department puts on the roads that takes storm water, in some cases sewage water, but these were storm drainage tiles, you know the kind. They're big enough to crawl through. They saw one of them laying there, and it was packed with mud. And boys being boys, and Hollidaysburg, being a typical Pennsylvania town, there's a lot of hills. And so the city street that this tile was laying next to, obviously, they were at the top of the hill, and these boys got into the ditch and started putting their shoulders into it, and they got that tile moving, and they finally got it moving enough. They got it up over the top of the berm. Unfortunately, they didn't calculate very well, and there was no method to stop the tile once it started rolling, and it went out onto the street and went rolling down the street and took the front porch off of one of the neighbor's houses. Fortunately, nobody was on the porch at the time this happened, but it did do a lot of damage and scared a lot of people. But the point being, it takes a lot of effort to get things moving, but once they start moving, they can happen very quickly. Everybody's been talking about the fact that nothing seems to be happening with the White Hats, the Alliance, the Trump administration, etc., because we haven't seen the people we want to see, even though there's been thousands of people arrested for pedophilia and child pornography and things such as that. We had the great shakeup over in Saudi Arabia, and there is a continuing shakeup going on in the fact that John Brennan today, the ex-head of the CIA, lost his security clearance. And personally, I don't know why he kept it to begin with, but that's been the habit in Washington. These traitors, when they leave office, they keep their security clearances. When I left the United States Air Force, my security clearance went away. When I retired from the nuclear power industry, my security clearance disappeared. Well, how come these people get to keep it? Especially when they've committed treason. But anyway, his was pulled, and they're looking at either six or seven other significant others in the soup or in the swamp that their clearances may be taken away very soon as well. So there's a lot going on. Again, a lot of this stuff seems to be happening below the radar screen or below the surface. But it seems to be coming out much more in open. If you do check the Q posts from time to time, my favorite website for that is qmap.pub, https://qmap.pub. And the reason I like that is they arrange them for you so that they're more aesthetic and easier to follow. And you can click on a button and they bring into the posting all of the tweets by President Trump. And you can turn it on or off at your discretion. And it has a lot of search features, and plus they have a section where you can look at the players today. You'll see pictures and their names, what their positions are. So if you're not really familiar with who's who in the zoo as far as Washington, D.C. and in the swamp, they've got the perps pictures up there, but they also have some of the good guys' pictures up there. I don't agree with them 100%. They happen to have Alan Dershowitz, Dirtbag Jew Dershowitz, listed as a patriot. I don't consider any Jew a patriot. That's just me. I don't trust them. I've studied too much of their history. I know what their mottos are, their methods. I've read way too many books. I've seen too many things that have been said and done. And I followed Mr. Dershowitz's career somewhat, and some of the things he said in the past. And I don't consider that patriotic. I consider him a wolf in sheep's clothing like the rest of his kind. So, again, I've never said Q to be 100% accurate. I've never said Q was a crystal ball, but it is a source of information. And according to the information being put before us in the last couple weeks, it's been pretty darn accurate. It said that there would be four booms coming up in the very near future, and right after that we saw Peter Strzok had been fired from the CIA, or the FBI, I'm sorry. We also saw that there was something happened with that plane, and we have not been given the straight scoop on that plane in Washington, D.C. I'm here to tell you that the cover story for that episode up there is as bad as the cover story for 9/11 and Oklahoma City and Waco and all the rest of them. Bad, bad, bad. If you just stop and look at something and engage your brain, you can see right through the lies and the orchestrated event. So that's two booms right there. And then today we find out that the Muslim communist traitor Brennan had his security clearance pulled. I believe the steps are being put in place from everything I'm seeing that these people will be charged with treason in the very near future. I could be wrong, but that's my gut feeling. From everything I'm seeing and hearing, it tells me that we're on the verge of that happening. Now everybody says, we got midterm elections and we have all this going on and on. I think it's very significant that the new $100 bill has come out when it did. Now, this new $100 bill has been in existence on the drawing board since, I think, 2011. So what's that, 7 years? There's that number seven again. So 7 years this bill's been sitting there. Why issue it now? What's going on now that all of a sudden we see this bill? And you look at this bill and there's a message to us for people with eyes to see and ears to hear. There's a reason it's got the gold lettering. There's a reason there's a green or a gold inkwell and a gold quill, which is used to write back in the colonial days. That's what you wrote with. You had an inkwell or a little bottle full of ink on your table, and you dipped the quill into the ink and you wrote. The Constitution was written that way. So it has wording in gold also on the right-hand side of the bill that comes from our founding documents, and it talks about the fact that when a government ceases to provide for our peace, safety, and happiness, it has no longer fulfilled its duty. The whole reason for the government to be brought into existence was to guarantee those things to we the people. You see, we're the heart of the matter, folks, you and I. We the people, just as Yahweh told us. It's the people. He's never put any stock in buildings, institutions, banks, money, any of those things. He considers those inanimate objects. And where in Scripture are inanimate objects ever held in high regard? The answer, of course, is never. What is held in high regard? You and I are, as His children. And the fact that He is our Father. And the fact that He put us here on this earth to tend it, which means to keep it. And we are what's important. None of these systems, none of these banking systems, government systems, corporations, or anything that has been centralized, and including the church world, none of those things were put in place by our Father that they had any value. That's why the Scripture doesn't talk about them. When it does talk about them, it calls them what? Mystery Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 and also up in 13 and 14, when it talks about Babylon burning in a very short period of time, what is it that burns? What is it that collapses? It's not you and me. It's a system, a world system, a mercantile system, merchants. Mercantile means merchants. The merchants are weeping and wailing as this system burns. The Jew bankers are weeping and wailing as the central bank burns. The government officials weep and wail as the people walk away from central government, because they've lost their power. It's a mental construct, their hold over us. That's why Yahweh says that as you think, so you are. I can remember my dad talking about that. As you think, so you are. If you think you're old and decrepit, odds are your body will follow suit. If you think you're young, as we used to say, young at heart, then you will be young. I often get up every morning and think, gosh, I don't feel my age at all. I still feel like a teenage kid in a lot of ways. A lot wiser. That's a lot of decades behind my walk that I've learned, or I've tried to learn anyway, from my mistakes and from those beautiful souls that have come into my existence, that have taught me so much. In fact, one of the guys that just had a phone conversation with me this week is listening in tonight, and thank you, Mike. We got into a very, very good discussion about free will, which we may cover here tonight yet as well. We often hear about free will, and let me just say it very quickly and succinctly that when you hear that term, do not mistake that for you have the right to choose Yahweh or not. that you have a right to go your own way. Going your own way means that you are lost, people. You were created by the Father and put here for a purpose. You either are called out by Him and serve His will, or you will perish following your own will. Which will it be? Which will it be? The very word ecclesia in the Greek language that is interpreted as church, which is a misnomer, has nothing to do with a building. It has everything to do with the people. Ecclesia in the Greek language means called out ones. And if you look at the lexicon for that word in Greek, it didn't mean just called out. It meant called out as if somebody was standing in a crowd of people and he put his hands together around his mouth and started screaming your name. Screaming at you. Our Heavenly Father is screaming at His children right now, at this time. How much more evil will you tolerate? Evil prevails because the good are doing nothing. The righteous are doing nothing. Those with eyes to see and ears to hear are doing nothing. Oh, they're praying a lot. They're studying a lot. They're having a lot of meetings. They send out a lot of emails. But yet the wicked continue. Why? Well, ask Phinehas what it took to stop the plague in his day. Ask Joshua when he went up against the city what it took. Ask Abraham when he went to recover Lot what it took to get his nephew back from the wicked. In all the cases that I've studied in Scripture, when evil is put upon the people, the righteous take up arms and resist. This country, I believe, has run its course. I think that's what the new money is supposed to tell us. I believe that what Q is trying to tell us by the people behind the scenes and doing what they're doing, and that's why they referred in this latest post today to two significant Bible verses. And let me just go to those here real quick and pull them up. If anybody sees Patricia come online, get my attention. She said she would join us here. Actually, she should have been here by now. But let me read these while we're waiting. Again, now, people say Q is a psyop. Oh, I think I see Patricia. Hold on. Patricia, hang on there. Let me read these real quick, and I'll bring you on here. If that's you at the 307 number, do the star 6 thing, and then I'll know for sure it's you. But anyway, Q refers to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and these particular verses. Love is patient and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not brag, is not proud, does not behave itself inappropriately, does not seek its own way, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will be done away with. Where there are various languages, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part, and we prophesize in part. But when that which is complete has come, then that which is partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I was also fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain these three. The greatest of these is love. What's it talking about there? We don't see clearly. Why? Because we don't have the ability to see clearly, and we've been lied to. That's why Q constantly refers to who do you trust? It's not talking about in government all the time. It's talking about who do you trust in society? Who do you trust? We're finding out the very organizations that we were told to trust are actually not trustworthy at all. So let me unmute this Cheyenne. Is that you, Patricia? Hello? Okay, there's something wrong with your mic, if that's you. I can't tell who's who here. Doesn't say. I've got a 724 area code. Hello, who's this?
Ron, Western Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Again, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I got, let me see here. I got an anonymous here. Who's this?
Oh, there we go. I think you got me now, Dan.
Oh, I used to have another person come on as anonymous. That's why I didn't recognize it as you.
Sorry, I just dialed in and it didn't give me any chance to put any of that in. So obviously, I don't know I didn't know totally what I was doing here. So hey,
oh,
how are
okay.
you?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Doing fine. We're just talking about some of the latest Q stuff, but we can put a stop on that for now, and we can get into some of the things you wanted to bring to the folks.
Yeah, wonderful. Great. Well, I'm just sitting here having a pineapple congee. Have you ever tried that?
A pineapple congee?
Yeah, it was developed, you know, I do a lot of probiotic kind of food.
Right.
And I'm taking care of some little business. And so, you know, like raw milk kefir, I make my own kefir. And then I do kombucha and do my second ferments and all that. And so one time I was reading this article about other probiotic drinks that you can make. And one of them said this pineapple congee. And I go, well, what's this? Well, I really like it. And it's, you know, when you cut up a pineapple and you throw all the, you know, the rind away and stuff, this way you get to use the rind. What you do is you take the rind, you scrub the pineapple, you know, just kind of wash that off. And so, and then you put it, I put it in a gallon jar, all that stuff in a gallon jar. It calls for a tablespoon of salt, but I think that makes it too salty. I like it with about a half a tablespoon of salt. And then I fill the rest with distilled water. I don't think it has to be distilled, but that's what I use. And then you leave it on the counter. You put the top on it, leave it on the counter for 5 to 7 days. I guess it's depending on the heat, and it ferments. And what's really cool is then you take all the pineapple stuff away, like the core and all the stuff that was inedible. You take that out, throw it away, and you're left with a really great probiotic drink that's stable at room temperature. And that's really cool because, you know, to take up another gallon in the refrigerator is sometimes a challenge. But this stuff, I really think it's tasty, and it does need refrigeration. So you can look for that recipe, but it's as simple as what I just said. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yep. Well, we're learning a lot about health stuff, and our people really need to get back into studying this stuff. That's like when I found out about if you get farm fresh eggs, if you take them out from underneath the hen and you take them in the house, just sort of brush them off. Don't wash them. You just sort of knock any kind of little hay or dirt or anything that might be on them. Just knock it off and let them sit there. You don't need to refrigerate them. They can go for weeks sitting right there on your counter. You don't need to refrigerate them as long as you don't wash them. When you wash them, you wash off the coating that the hen had put around the egg to protect it. See, that's one of the little things they don't tell you. So you're talking about your probiotic, which almost all of our people need a probiotic these days to help with digestion and stomach issues. But there, your product can sit out on the counter, doesn't need to be refrigerated. Other natural things made with vinegars and things like that don't need refrigeration. Their eggs don't need to be refrigerated. So over the years, we've gotten to the point where we think, oh my God, I can't live without a refrigerator. And we've forgotten completely about root cellars, what the root cellar does. Spring houses. My grandfather had a spring house on the farm. He didn't have a refrigerator out at the barn. We put the milk and other things in a spring house.
Yeah, I don't know what a spring house is. I know about a root cellar.
It's literally a spring house in the sense that spring water comes up out of the ground and runs through the spring house and out the other side. And it's just deep enough that you can put things from the kitchen at the house or one of those metal containers. I can't remember what we used to call them. They hold about 5 gallons of milk. And you put the metal cap on it with a plug and a little hammer, and you can set it down in the spring water. And the spring water is typically right around 35 degrees to 40 degrees, which is what your typical refrigerator
awesome.
Is. Yeah,
awesome.
So, you know, I remember as a boy, Grandma and my mother would send me out to the spring house if lunch was getting ready to be served and tell me to bring in a pitcher full of cold milk and butter and things like that that had been out there kept in containers, watertight containers in the spring house. So, you know, we've forgotten all that stuff. We don't need modern technology for everything. They've got us into a mental state where we think we have to have the beast system for everything, that we can't survive. And the truth of the matter is we can survive. So as Babylon burns, a lot of this stuff is going to be blown away as well. I think we're going to come back to some more simpler, more holistic, and better for the environment type things versus all this poisoning and plastics. Henry Ford invented plastic made from hemp oil that was biodegradable and 5 times stronger than the oil-produced plastics today. But because Rockefeller had bought up all the oil rights, he bought up the politicians who would not support Henry Ford and his invention of plastic by hemp oil. And then after that, of course, we had the so-called attack on drugs because, after all, marijuana looks like hemp. And so they went after the marijuana plant, but they also went after the hemp plant, and the hemp plant is not marijuana. But they went after it anyway, and their excuse was, well, because it looks like it. And because it looks like it, we don't want to have to differentiate when we're out there trying to find the bad guys, so we're going to outlaw them both. That's how they do things, okay? It's totally ridiculous.
We know, and it's a big plus to Big Pharma and everybody else that was to have helped hemp out of the way, but it is revitalizing rural communities. I talked to someone, and instead of getting $6,000 an acre, they can get $60,000 an acre growing hemp. And
the other beautiful thing about hemp, when you grow it, it cleans the soil. Hemp is one of the few plants that, as it grows, it will detoxify the soil. So, I mean, it's a godsend from our Heavenly Father, the hemp plant. There are so many uses for the fibers. The plant itself makes all kinds of things like cloth, paper. In fact, the Constitution was written on hemp paper. That's why it's lasted this long. If it was written on regular wood pulp type paper, it would have disintegrated a long time ago. So, but anyway, I got some other people I'm going to bring onto the call here eventually, but I wanted to get into if there's any updates on what's going on with the Bundys out there or any of the Las Vegas shooting stuff or any of the other issues that you're aware of.
Well, I forgot to turn my phone off. Sorry. There you go. yeah, there's you know, disgusting stuff going on with the Bundy situation. Todd Engel is a man. Well, let's back up and just for people, just give a recap for people that don't know the tier one and two. That was Clive and Bundy, Ammon, Ryan Payne, and then tier two, the last people that were going to go to trial, that was still there, and that group. That case was dismissed, and it was dismissed, well, because of the Wooten email. They didn't want that to come out in court. All the exculpatory evidence that the government had, you know, withheld and things. So that got dismissed. I think it was January 6th. I believe that was the day that finally. But Todd Engel and Greg Burleson were convicted in the first trial. Well, the first trial, that wasn't a fair trial at all. And so Gloria Navarro said, oh, well, these people can't get a fair trial now because of all this exculpatory evidence that the government hid and things like that. And she, you know, feigned her outrage at all that. She knew it all along, you know. So by rights, Todd Engel and Greg Burleson, their cases should get reversed. Their convictions should be reversed because they did not get a fair trial. But no, Todd Engel is the government's prize trophy in their war against Clive and Bundy. He's 51 years old, and he was convicted in that first perjury circus, and it ended in a mistrial with only Engel and Burleson being convicted. Now, Engel was convicted by what he said on Facebook. And guess what? That wasn't even stuff that he posted himself. He had a passenger with him, someone that he came down from Idaho with, and guess what? He was the one texting. So those weren't even Todd's texts. But that didn't make any difference to Gloria, no. So they get in there for a sentencing hearing, and that was, on the 19th. And, you know, and just when people think that they can't be any further shocked by Gloria Navarro and what this government does, we're shocked again. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. And so what she did is the government got up. Oh my gosh, you would think it was, just Al Capone, being sentenced here. Just one of the worst people ever. How all the government agents were so terrified because he had a gun. You can't prove that he ever pointed it at anybody. He didn't. He was dressed in scary clothing. He had camouflage clothing on. Oh, my gosh. We all thought that he would be out on the sidewalk shaking hands and hugging people that afternoon. But no. The two things that he was convicted of should have been time served. Should have been all handled by time served. He's missed three birthdays. He's been at three birthdays in prison here. And instead he was sentenced to 14 years. And if the feds had it their way, they'd have done 20. And, you know, it's just outrageous because Gloria sentenced him for acquitted conduct. And when he complained and said, wait a minute, the jury didn't find me guilty of those things. He said, well, they didn't find you not guilty either. Talk to your attorney.
Well, that's the whole reason the court system is completely bankrupt of any integrity today, because the founding fathers did not want any power in the referee that we call a judge. The power was to be in the jury. The jury was to call witnesses. The jury was to question people. The jury had the right to throw the case out, and the jury decided guilt or innocence. And the jury could even recommend a sentence. The judge was simply a referee, and they've twisted everything in this country. And I think
David Lane really said it best. And I just saw this. Henry Mackow just put out a really interesting article about the murder of Alan Berg and stuff. And,
yeah.
And I don't get it. You know, the Brudenschweigen. You know, the order were never charged with his murder. They were only charged with conspiracy. And I like what David Lane said, and this totally summed up the Bundy trial. He said, the trial itself is more carefully orchestrated than a Shakespeare play. All evidence and testimony are decided in advance, and the judge will tolerate no surprises. If there is any indication that effective defense evidence is forthcoming, the judge will immediately send the jury to another room while the details of the screwing you are getting is smoothed out. In addition, the judge is a highly skilled actor, appearing firm but fair when the jury is in the courtroom and becoming a tyrannical dictator the moment they are gone.
Well, again, we need a reset in this country. It's not just an economic reset. I think that reset's coming. I think we need a reset of government. And I believe that the new $100 bill with the golden inkwell, the golden quill, and the fact that there's a reference to the original documents on it is a symbol that we should take that says it's time to draft a new Constitution. It's time to draft new documents and establish a new government, because this one is rotten to the core. It's time to get back to the basics and start over.
Absolutely. It's Bolshevik America.
Exactly.
You know, what's shocking about this is that, I don't know if I've been on since the second Wooten email came out. I had a long talk with Todd's new attorney. Todd represented himself in the first trial and did an excellent job, like too good a job. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite days in court is when he said to the, he was cross-examining one of the BLM agents, and he said, were any of the supporters of the protesters hurt that day? The guy said, no. He said, were any of the BLM or other agents hurt that day? And he said, no. Then he said, would it be fair to say that the only thing that was hurt that day was the BLM's feelings? Oh my gosh, the jury erupted in laughter. Even the marshals were laughing.
Yeah.
And he didn't wait for the, of course, you know, the prosecution got up and, you know, objection. And so, but he had already turned and was walking back to his table when that was said. So he was doing too good a job for himself. And so she pulled his pro se status and made him be represented by an attorney, this clown of an attorney named John George. I mean, who napped at the table and played video games on his computer. Did not pay attention to the case whatsoever. And Todd complained about him and begged the judge, please let me, you know, take, you know, my case back and blah, blah, blah. No, she was going to maybe let him make his final argument himself. And I honestly didn't believe that they could, you know, that they could get this guy. I go, what would a jury see in that? He directed traffic for the Nevada Highway Patrol. They patted him on the back and thanked him for his help. How scary was that? How scary could people be? If the highway patrol thanked him for his help, yet everybody else, oh, now they're emotionally scarred from this. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So where are the good guys to step in and fix things when it goes this awry? Who has the power to step in and admonish a judge that's completely off the rails?
That's the problem with the especially with the federal judiciary. But you know, this
hold on. Okay. We got a caller in here, Patricia. We got Jay on the line. Let me see what he's got. Well, go ahead, Jay.
I am late arriving. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just calling in. I'm sorry I couldn't get in sooner.
Oh, okay. Very good. And okay. Well, let me get I'm going to go ahead and see what Jimmy's got to say, and then you can jump back in here in a little bit then, Jay, okay?
Yes, I just real quick, I'd like to say I'm not familiar with your guest fully, but I listened to some of the things she's talked about, and if she ever has time, she should check out the Bill White case, because a lot of the stuff she's talking about with the Bundy trial, if you want to see a kangaroo court being railroaded, the Bill White case is something she'll find very fascinating.
So that's Bill White?
Yep. Bill White, he was the leader of the National Socialist Party. He's still sitting in prison right now because his audience is inherently so criminal that he's not allowed free speech rights. And that's almost a direct quote from the judge. I apologize for my interruption.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, Jay, we'll get back to you. Let me bring Jimmy in and see what he's got to say here. Okay, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, first of all, Brother Jay, nice to hear your voice. Give me a call when you have a second. Secondly, Ms. Aiken, you and I share the same last name, and who knows if we're related in lineage. But real quick, I work in the real estate profession for a law firm for several years, and I sent love letters to Oregon and Nevada prosecutors, and I had the FBI show up at my studio. I run a Bank versus UTV, and I'm affiliated with most of the broadcasters, to include our good friend Pastor Dan. But my friend, it is time. I just had to, I mean, there's so much to say, and I'll yield here in 15 seconds. But at the end of the day, those are our courtrooms. That judge would not let the Constitution come in. I had several conversations live on air with people that were on the ground there. Maybe I got in with some of the wrong people from time to time that were just there for the money. But it is time for us to really... just really, and I don't mean to be violent, but we need to go in there and disrobe and disgavel this judge as a society. We're a constitutional republic. And I just want to say, Ms. Aiken, thank you so much for what you're doing, and maybe Dan, you'll bring me in later in the show. And real quick, if Jay's listening, give me a call, brother. I have some updates for you.
Well, Mr. Aiken, it was nice to meet you tonight.
You're still on, Jimmy.
Okay, well, thank you very much, my friend. And I will mute here, Commander Dan, if you want to leave my mic open. And I promise I will not jump in, but you know my demeanor. I am sick and tired of this. I am a professional man in my community by my own right. And I'm just so happy that we have Ms. Aiken on tonight. So I will mute and be on standby.
All right, buddy. All right. I'll leave it open that way. If you do need to jump in, you can just unmute at your end. So, but you know, Jimmy's right, and so's Jay, Patricia. We've got a major problem in this country. And this fits in with the topics that we picked tonight as far as the Q posts, what I think the messages were being sent by the Q Anon people, the message we've been sent with the new $100 bill, with the revelations that Brennan had his security clearance pulled today, and they're looking at pulling about six or seven other very significant figures in Washington. The president said a couple weeks ago that it was time to change tactics and go on the offensive. I believe they've got all the information they need now. We know the NSA, they have the servers. The president of Russia, Mr. Putin, has provided 160 terabytes of intelligence information to our president, in addition to what we've got from our own intelligence agencies, but the ones that are still good anyway, and not the criminals. So I think we're at a point where we need a total reset, Patricia. Now, let me throw this, since you have been in and out of the courts, and we've got Jimmy and Jay and some other people that are familiar, I'm just going to throw this out there. I believe the new $100 bill is telling us it's time for an establishment of a new government. Would you agree that this government, as it is operated today is completely counter to what the Founding Fathers established. Would you agree that they have completely destroyed what the Founders envisioned when we wrote the Constitution and established our government over 200 and almost 40 years ago?
Well, you know, I'd have to say absolutely. That's my song. I sing it all the time, that our government was taken over in 1867 or 1861, when the so-called Civil War — it wasn't a civil war, it was a war of northern aggression — and that started the communist takeover of our country with the Reconstruction Act and the 14th Amendment. And that's and it's been in takeover mode since then. And if they'd been honest, which we know Bolsheviks never are, they would have called that government that year the First Congress. Instead, they call it the 41st Congress. They were just trying, you know, we didn't have internet then, and so people didn't understand the big communist takeover of our country with this big federal behemoth. They didn't get it, and we're seeing the effect of it now. Now, they were maybe a young, immature beast at the time, but this beast has grown up, and Stalin didn't have it this good. Stalin did not have it this good with all the technology and their spy apparatus. It's absolutely incredible. And they didn't have a hold on the judiciary. That seemed to have started around the 50s when they really infiltrated all the, you know, the Department of Injustice and stuff. And it's just a crazy situation there now. So, I mean, they'll stop at nothing. I mean, and just to get back to the Bundy case real quick, when I remember I was there the day when Clive and Bundy was released and Tier 1 and 2 cases were dismissed. I was there for both those days. And Warren Markowitz was fresh on the case and says, well, hey, I'd love to stay, but I've got to hurry. I've got to get back to my office because I've got motions to write for Todd's case. For his conviction to be dismissed or for him to receive a new trial because of the amount of exculpatory evidence the prosecution had hid during those trials. And the evidence would have made it impossible for even the grand jury indictment. None of these people would have been indicted. Ammon Bundy, he's been around, he's been making the rounds in alternative media, trying to beat the bushes because he hopes that the grand jury and all the members of the other juries will contact him because they feel like they've known these Brady violations. There would have been a full acquittal for every defendant, and they would have never been able to get the grand jury indictment. But it was just one of the most ugly days in court I've ever seen. And after, you know, she feigned her outrage at the prosecutorial misconduct and ruled for the dismissal. But basically, that was just denying the Bundys their day in court. That wasn't because, you know, it was just because they were busted. They didn't want more to come out. Because this guy Wooten, Flint Wooten, was the original investigator for the BLM, and he worked with the senior prosecutor, Stephen Myrie. And one day he said to Myrie, how come you're hiding all the exculpatory evidence? And Myrie shot back, you're fired. And he sent people over to pick up his computer and all his flash drives and everything and take everything from him. And so he got disgusted and wrote a letter, I think it was in September, before this, you know, Tier 1 went to trial. And, oh, my God, it was a bombshell. But, of course, it's come out now, and you can see, because he was talking all about how aggressive the BLM was being, how they wanted to kick Clive and Bundy in the teeth, how crazy Dan Love is. And, you know, Dan Love was under investigation, criminal investigation by the BLM itself. And what a nutcase he is.
Well, you know,
that
just reminds me of the insanity in this country when Michael Chertoff was made the first director of Homeland Security, and he was under federal indictment as a judge in New Jersey for malfeasance in office. I mean, what's wrong with this frickin' country? I mean, who thinks it's good to put these kind of cretins and monsters in positions of authority and power?
The other monsters. the other monsters, when they're doing a good job, being monsters, they get promoted. And so this all came out. And so Myrie actually called Wooten a liar. And Wooten took that kind of personal. And so he wrote a second email or a second letter. And, I mean, right away, Navarro sealed it. And even with all the stuff that they redacted out of it, Todd's attorney said it made the first email look like a bedtime story. Bedtime story. And so they didn't want that to come out. And so 5 minutes before Todd's sentencing was to take place, she denied all his motions. There were three of them, and she denied them before anybody was admitted to the gallery. She wanted to do it in private because she knew there would be just outrage in the gallery. And I said, I asked him how he felt about it. They said he felt stunned. He felt like someone hit me in the back of the head with a baseball bat, is what he said. And then it got uglier. I'm telling you, Myrie didn't say anything, but this guy, Daniel Sheish, I guess they say Sheish, he got up and made their absolutely sickening tirade. I mean, not the least bit humbled by being caught withholding Brady. Sheish gets up there, and he's like this big dramatist. I mean, I won't say as much as I know about him, but they crafted this false narrative off Engel's frustrated and emotional Facebook posts that weren't even all his. Oh, I mean, it was just it was so disgusting.
So you're telling me that all these criminals that run the court system are soy boys and girls. They're little cucks. If their feelings are hurt, that they have the right to put people in jail. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, they're beyond cucks. I mean, they're sociopaths. They're sociopaths. No one could get up there and spin a tale like this and do it with a straight face. I mean, they're just actors. Just actors. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here you have mercenaries in full battle rattle, helmets, tactical assault, tactical gear, helicopter air support. I mean, it's incredible. When they showed up at the bridge that day, they were shocked to see all that because on their side of it, it was just festive. It was flags and cowboys. And he said it doesn't get more down home than that. And then they arrived at the impoundment area. The BLM was supposed to be ceasing operation. They were supposed to cease operation, and they were actually escalating it, not leaving.
And you mean they lied?
Oh, my God. What?
You mean they lied?
Yeah, and he's carrying on, and he's talking about the rule of law, and Navarro's quoting the U.S. Constitution. I mean, while they're continuing to trample, you know, Todd Engel's Constitution and God-given rights, it's unbelievable. She had already trashed his right to defend himself partway through the trial. I mean, it's just the most unbelievable thing to continue to see this. And I'd like to encourage people to go on YouTube and pull up Sheriff Lombardo and perjury, you know, Bundy trial, and pull it up. And you'll see what he said on the stand. You'll see the actual transcript, and then you'll see the actual video of him in Bunkerville, and you'll see how much of a lie it was, everything that he said on the stand. The only thing that he said that was right was his name.
So what's it going to take to bring these people to justice? Because they have become bigger criminals than the people that are actually there as defendants. These people are criminals in the eyes of the Almighty and in the eyes of the people.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, we have to wake more people up, I think. You know, there's still, you know, I still talk to people today. Like I talked to somebody at the dog park yesterday. She's from Colorado. She says, well, I don't understand what happened there, because all she saw was mainstream media. So I told him, she goes, oh, I'm going to go home and look into that. You go, yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And then later, I mean, they were, you know, and I tell you what Todd Engel said. Let me just finish this story real quick. When he recovered from his shock and time, they're trying to pin Todd Engel and everybody that took a plea was convicted, like Burleson, a guy named Jerry DeLamis took a plea. He wasn't even at the standoff. When he got there, he went down and told the sheriff at the time, Gillespie, Clive and Bundy says, if you're going to arrest him, to let him know, I'll turn himself in. That's, but he, you know, scheduled it because they said there weren't any snipers. Now there are snipers. Now they've had to admit to the snipers, and these people are still in prison. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So they're trying to pin $1.5 million in restitution on these people and split it up to them. I mean, we've had the report that they spent $7 million to rustle the Bundy cattle and kick Clive and Bundy in the teeth. And we know they've spent about $100 million so far on these trials, on the thing in Burns, Oregon, you know, the Harney County shebang. So we know it's well over $100,000, $100 million that they've spent to put Clive and Bundy and his sons in prison, and they have not been able to do it. And so the real bill, and there's this guy, Karen Suckling from the Center for Biologic Diversity, who, oh my God, I have had words with him. And he continues to spread the lie that Clive and Bundy owes $1 million. He should be sued right there because they showed the actual invoice, and it was like a paltry $8,000, and then the fines added up to $200,000. But he had no contract with them. He doesn't owe it. Just ridiculous. But, you know, I absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I had to laugh because Markowitz brought up a really funny story. He said, citing a, you know, the government spent $7 million to rustle the, you know, come and cattle rustle, but for a million dollar bill, really, that doesn't even exist. Then he said, I hate to say it, if a cattleman ran his ranch like this, he'd be out of business. we were laughing. I hate to say it as a new legal term for I've been dying to say this, really.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, just ridiculous. But he cited a brothel in Nevada that the government bought. The government says the two easiest products in the world to sell are sex and beer, yet the brothel closed because the government couldn't run it.
Oh my God, that just reinforces something I said. The government can't do a damn thing right. Anything the government runs, it's a failure. And they can't even run a brothel. That's amazing.
Yeah.
First of all,
yeah,
why are they buying a brothel? Why is my tax dollars buying a brothel? That's number one. Number two is you can't even run a brothel right.
Yeah, he told me the whole reason or whatever, and I forget, but it's just ridiculous. What business do they have in business? No, they're here to provide for your rights, protect your rights, you know.
Well, they have gone against everything the founding fathers expected government to provide. They provide none of them, and everything they do is completely unconstitutional at this point. They have no authority to do anything they're doing. Huh?
Exactly. We live in opposite land. Whatever they say they're doing, turn it around and you'll 180 degrees and you'll just about come to the truth.
All right, I'm going to ask you what the intelligence officer asked me 7 years ago. Almost 8 years ago now. If what I'm seeing on the $100 bill is correct, if what I'm hearing the Q post trying to tell us, if the QAnons and all the people that are doing the research are putting all the pieces together, if they're right, and we're going to see both an economic change, we're going back to a gold standard, a U.S. note, not a promissory note from a Federal Reserve, we're going to actually have a government-issued U.S. note backed by gold, and, personally, the entire government fired and start over. Would the people support it? That's my question to you. Would you support it, and do you think the people you know support it?
Would I support it? That's a really interesting question. People I know, I run with a crowd that's, you know, like us. That's aware and awake. But, you know, then I talk to the zombies, and I don't know what they think. But,
okay.
I'm not for a big central government. I'm totally opposed to the federal takeover. You know, federal in the Federalist Papers did not mean national. As a matter of fact, James Madison contrasts, he said, well, that would be federal, but this is national. This would be national, this is federal. No, it just meant the Confederation of the States. It didn't mean this big, so they changed the dictionary in 1867. The Noah Webster Dictionary was changed, in 1864. What was changed to change all these words. So this was an orchestrated thing. So, yeah, get rid of the federal government. I say everybody needs to withdraw from the federal government and work on states' rights, getting state sovereignty again. But to me, how I see it, is the states are just a franchise of the federal government anymore. They're all in it. That's why
there has to be a complete cleaning of the house, not only at the federal level, but at the state levels. We need to go back and start all over.
Yeah, exactly. Start all over, give the states back their rights. You know, like I like those organizations like the Republic of Texas and the Republics, because that's what we were. We were a republic of republics. And, you know, and of course the libertarians are going to say, oh, but every government has become corrupt and stuff like that. Yeah, but that's okay. We can at least have smaller corruption and manageable corruption, because then people can vote, with their feet. You know, I mean, if you don't like the state of Nevada because of how they're dealing things, well, it's not a big deal to move to Utah. But if you don't like the way the whole federal thing's going, where are you moving to?
Well, that's exactly right. Centralization is evil. No matter what you're talking about, whether it's religion, finance, government, military, you name it, centralization is evil. That's why the Bible, and Jay and I, Jay can join us here in a minute, because we've talked about the free state of Florida as an example for discussion. All government, according to the Bible, and everything should be done according to the Bible. No great civilization of white people ever existed that didn't run according to the Bible. They all failed eventually. If you do it according to the Bible, all government is supposed to be local. You're supposed to have almost zero government over you at anything above a county level. Almost zero. It should be at the precinct level or the county level.
Exactly. I agree, Dan. The churches in New England weren't even called churches. They were called meeting houses.
Meeting
because
houses.
Because people would meet to discuss the local government and how they wanted the community to be run.
Exactly right. You're right. They weren't even called churches. They were meeting houses. In fact, they were multi-purpose. They multitask. On Sunday, it's where they would hold, somebody would come in and speak about biblical things and Bible law. But on Monday through Friday, it was where civil government was held in the same building. And it was also where court was held. Because you had so little government, you didn't need 24/7 government. You only got together when there was a problem. So if you had a criminal, it became a courthouse. You dealt with the criminal. If you needed to pass a regulation or a statute, then it became a legislative house, and you would send in your local guys to go in there and say what kind of ordinance or statute you might want. The biblical law was the law of the land. The only thing you did at the local level was have statutes or some kind of a minor thing that was just for that location to assist in implementing God's law.
Yeah, that's how I understand it. But, you know, the thing that I'm getting at here is, you know, libertarians all like to say, oh, we don't want government or we don't want borders. Man, I think that's a total, I have a crass way of saying that, but I'll try not to say it. That's like a Jew's dream come true, no borders, because that just helps them take over. No, I still believe in freedom of association. I don't want to go to somebody else's country. I don't want somebody else to come to mine.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard anybody talk about a biblical monarchy?
I'm sure I have it, but I can't recall the specifics of it.
All right. Well, that's what I'm advocating all the time. We don't have time to try to build up a government similar to what we had before, and it didn't work anyway. I say let's go back to the Bible, and I'm going to stand on this as long as I breathe air It's worked for our people for thousands of years, multiple tribes, no matter where they went. The simplest form of government, and even scholars will admit this, the simplest, most efficient form of government you can possibly have is a beneficial monarchy, period. That's why Christ, when he comes back, he will be a beneficial monarch. So the people that don't even know what that's all about, you better get used to it, because Christ isn't coming back to be part of Parliament or part of a Congress. He's coming back as a beneficial monarch.
Anybody that supports taxation, taxation is theft. If people want to participate in something, if you want, like we want, patrols. Like I live in a city, I would like men and maybe women, if they wanted to as well, to patrol, my area, our community and stuff, because the police aren't doing a very good job. I mean, police are, minutes, when seconds count, police are minutes away, as they say. No, I would like that. I know the crime rate, we had a terrible situation on McKenna Beach on Maui. That it's way out. It's a remote location. Lots of people go there. Cars broken into all the time. Oh, the police couldn't do anything about it. So men in the community got together, and guess what? They started patrolling down there, and guess what happened? Cars stopped being broken into.
Right.
Wouldn't you know? So let's have everything be community-based. Now, granted, some knucklehead's going to come along. And my biggest gripe with the nationalist movement and our people is the sociopaths seem to rise to the top. They seem to be always the ones that want to be in charge. Well, then give them 6 months. Very short term if you're going to do something like that. But don't have these clowns that want to. I'm way off here tonight. My filter is gone. Don't have these people that are really in it for the self-aggrandizement and they want to rule over other people. No, the good people don't want to rule over other people. They want to be left alone.
Exactly.
And let people flourish.
Exactly. And to me, that's what the biblical monarchy does. The monarch is like a grandfather. He's just sitting at the top position. He's got a privy council of elders who assist him and watch over him to make sure he stays on the up and up. But the biggest thing is that they represent the people and bring the concerns to the people. But he puts everything down at the local level. It's exactly as it was when Moses established the law. All of our governments were based on the Mosaic law, which says that everything's done at the local. That's where the word chieftain comes from. The chief of 10 families. Chieftain. Ton is Old English for 10. Chief of 10 families. If they couldn't solve it, they went to the next guy up who was the chief of 50. So he was the chief over 50 families. If that guy couldn't solve the problem, then they went to the guy who was in charge of 100 families. And from there, you went to a guy in charge of 1,000 families. In other words, everything's solved at the local level. You only bring in the guy at the next level up if you can't solve it and you got to have somebody as a moderator. And then,
I read
the monarch simply sits atop and make sure everybody behaves themselves, because he's got the ultimate power. He simply says, look, if you got a Judge Navarro, if you got a Dan Love, if you got a James Clapper, if you've got a John Brennan, I'm sending my boys down, and we're going to drag his sorry ass in front of our tribunal, and we're going to bring in the evidence. There'll be none of this game playing. All evidence is going to be presented in front of the jury, or the tribunal, whichever case may be, and we're going to find out that you have been a public servant who has violated the contract, and they would be judged accordingly. And for being a public servant that lies or obfuscates evidence, the punishment is twice whatever the defendant was going to get. So if they say the Bundys need to go to jail for 14 years and pay $1 million, well, then the judge and the prosecutor and the lying lawyers will go to jail for 28 years, and they will owe $2 million in fines.
Yeah, I like that, how the Bible talks about a false accusations against someone. I think that's brilliant. I really do.
Think about it, Patricia. If we had that kind of a law, how many of these misfits would do what they do? If they knew there was a righteous government in place that was going to come in and haul their ass in front of a tribunal, and when they were found out to do the dirty deeds that they've been doing, that they would be punished to the fullest extent of the law, only in their case, double, because they're public servants.
Yeah,
they're
instead of having total immunity.
Exactly.
You know, when you're talking about the Mosaic Law, I think you'd have you read a little booklet? It's not really a book. It's just more like a monograph, and it's called Moses the Economist.
No, I have not.
Oh, it was a great little book. I don't know if you can find it anymore. I lost mine several moves ago. I read it back when I was on Maui. So, listen, I know you have other guests standing by here tonight, Dan, so I don't want to take up your time. I'll just say Todd Engel, on his way out of the courtroom, he was handcuffed and being shoved. He yelled to his supporters, "Freedom is not free." And I just like to say, nor are appeals. And so if you'd like to send a donation, they can contact me. I'll tell you where. I don't have Warren's information handy here, but you can send it right to Warren Markovich's law office. And anything helps. If it's $5, it helps. Now, the next thing that happened was that Eric Parker and Scott Drexler were sentenced. They took pleas at the end of the first trial. I mean, if I had seen them before they'd done that, I'd have encouraged them not to do it. This was right after the Las Vegas shooting. There was only one person that hung the jury in that case, gun trauma. And I really believe that that's what one of the layers to the Las Vegas shooting was about, was traumatizing the entire jury pool. Because they said, wow, we specialize in gun trauma. And so when they got in, Scott got off time, served, everything, no probation, everything was cool, first one. And then Eric Parker, oh, man, they went. Because, again, she got up, and his attorney did a good job. He called it hyperbolic rhetoric. Yeah, just total hyperbole that, it was Al Capone was on trial. Eric is such a fine man. He really is. And to hear all that, his wife was so disgusted, she got up and walked out. And I did not blame her in the least. Andrea Parker's just been an amazing person in this trial. I believe she had a lot to do with lot to do with the success of these mistrials, really. And so, he got another year's probation. He's already served more time than the maximum sentence for what he took a plea for. So how can there be any more probation? But he's just a danger to the public. Oh, sorry, somebody's here. I got to run.
All right, thanks a lot, Patricia. All right, holy cow, unbelievable. All right, Jay, I'm going to bring you on here, buddy. Any thoughts about the things that we talked about?
I wish he wouldn't have ran away. I would really love to get her thoughts on my perspective on all of that. I mean, a lot of thoughts of it, and... God, I wish you wouldn't have took off. I'm going to say this,
let me just let you know, I'll email her and have her listen to this recording later. So say what you would have said if she had stayed on.
Okay. First off, I'd like to say that the whole Bundy thing, I come at the perspective of the only, I personally don't put a lot of faith in Q or that any government agency is going to fix this for us. If we want it fixed, we have to do it. It's up to us. We are the only ones that are going to do something about it. I personally think the reason why they throw them feints at us is because they want people to continue to sit around and wait for somebody else to fix the problem, because that is the enemy's strategy, to stall for time. That's what they want to do, because what have they always done? They incrementally take our rights away. They incrementally genocide the white race, one policy at a time, one law at a time, one move at a time. However, they'll take it as far as they can. And in recent years, though, they have taken it right to the edge. And the very thing to, I would say, the white nationalist community, people run around in my perspective of it, because Bundy, the whole Bundy event, when they tried to take the cattle, that was actually, I would say, in the last 40 years, the actual closest America got to a second revolution breaking out. If you look at a comparison between Lexington and Concord and the Bundy situation, other than the location and the reasons why the people were there, the numbers were almost identical. And the orders that each side was under was almost identical. The men at Concord, the Minutemen were standing up to prevent the British from taking the gun stores. The British were under orders to take it all the way to the edge. However, the commander has specific orders that if the Americans would not back down, they were not to fire. They were to exit the field, and they knew it because they're like, if we exit the field, what'll happen is they'll go back to their houses, and we'll go get them at night a week or two later, one by one. We'll catch them drunk in some bar or something. Don't push the issue, because if you push the issue, you're going to start some big, you know, revolution. The British were quite fearful. There had been several challenges to their authority, and in many cases that people don't talk about, the orders were followed. Well, look at the Bundy situation. They were there to get those cattle, to keep the BLM from holding on to them, to release them. They lined up on one side. You know, there's your Minutemen, the Bundy crew. Well, where's the Redcoats? The Redcoats were the BLM and the law enforcement. They were lined up on the other side, triggers ready to go. They backed away from the field. They followed orders. They were to give those things over to them, because trust me, guys in government knew exactly what was about to bust out. And I guarantee there was some guy from D.C. screaming at some commander when he saw the live stream of what was happening right there, and said, you better back off, this whole country, we'll lose everything, it'll all go down. Now, why did it happen in Lexington and Concord? Well, the shot heard around the world that still to this day, nobody is quite sure who fired that shot. Nobody really knows. However, if that first shot would not have been fired, the revolution wouldn't have happened right then. They would have continued to stall for time. They would have backed off. And what did they do to the Bundys? When they backed off, they said, just wait. Everybody be patient. Nobody launch any raids on the place. Nobody move in on them. We'll get them later. They'll get them the way they get so many other people. They'll wear them out in court. They'll go after them civilly. They'll hit them in the bank accounts. And eventually, they did them a favor when they did that thing and took the government building. Now, I know why they did it, and I think they were justified to do it. But even then, they didn't launch a raid on the place. They let the Bundys run all around all over town and get into like a false sense of security. So finally, whenever they reached a situation where all the main players, all the leaders were in one place on one road in two vehicles, they launched their move, because if they cut off the head of the snake, they knew everything would fall apart. Now, from the government's perspective, this is actually – it's a lot of damage control, because, yeah, they almost lost everything at the cattle freaking standoff. They almost lost it all. It almost all went to hell. But – so their damage control objective is, we need to make sure that everybody understands that anybody that stands up against the government is going to lose all their money, is going to lose the farms, is going to be caught up in court. The fact that many of them are beating these cases and they're losing it out in court, that's really not important to them. That's not a big deal. What matters is that the normies and people watching regular television see that, oh man, yeah, they stood up, but they barely made it out of jail, and they lost all their money, and they're still caught up in this. And this is going to go on to 40 years, because that's what people hate. If the idea of us getting our country back was based on live or death, if there wasn't for the fact that you could be drug into court and have all these fines put against you and all these other things happen and go to prison and lose your money and all this, if it was the idea that if you stood up against the government, as long as you didn't get killed while you were doing whatever action against the government, then you wouldn't be arrested later, we would have had a revolution a long time ago. The reason why people don't do anything is because everyone's afraid of being caught up in the prison and court system, because everybody knows that you've run that. And I don't have to mention this, you're well aware, the big part of the reason Bundy was able to not have the book thrown out of them all and thrown in jail was because they're so relatable. There's so many of the people in the country that know about them. So many people that watch them. They're also connected in with the Mormon family. So if they couldn't do to them what they did to Bill White, what they did to J. Edgar Steele, what they did to Matt Hale, what they're doing right now to those poor kids that stood up in the Charlottesville thing. So, you know, and once again, this is a benefit for the enemy. The fact that some of them were able to beat the case, when guys like me go to another awake group, and I'm sure you've experienced this, if I go to like guys that are really into Alex Jones and I try to tell them, hey guys, we're never going to get out of this through voting, we're never going to solve this problem in court systems, we need to find We need to find another way. And they're going to look at me and go, well, look what happened to the Bundys. They beat their case. They got away. It's not that bad. It hasn't gone that far. Yeah, it's bad, but we haven't completely lost control of the courtrooms, when me and you both know that, oh, yeah, if tell that to poor J. Edgar Steele that was rotted away and died in Victorville prison. That was a totally staged thing done by the FBI just to see if they could do it. Bill White is still rotting in prison right now for the most ridiculous case I've ever read in my life. Trust me, anybody go check it out. And the reason why is because these are white nationalists. And white nationalists tend to be a very isolated crew. Nobody's going to run and give them any kind of attention. Alex Jones is not going to show up and cover their story, you know, at all. They'll never touch it with a 10-foot pole. And if people don't know about it and it's not talked about on television, the normies, they're not aware. As far as they're concerned, it happened. So I would say that the Bundy thing is very fascinating to look at, but it's also, people need to understand that the enemy, in a way, this is a victory for the enemy in the sense of damage control, because it almost busted loose. The revolution almost happened right then and there, but it was able to be stopped. And as far as damage control is done, they've done a great job. They've put all kinds of people in prison, and your barely awake people and your still kind of zombified people, generally all they know is that, well, the court system, they did at least beat it in case, but yeah, they did lose all their money, and you know, they're going to be dealing with this for years, and it's going to be drug out, and oh man, I love the fact that they did it, but I'm not going to show up to anything like that. Oh my God, I don't want to have to worry about being caught up in court and all this. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants people to sit around and continue to wait for some mythical group to solve the problem. The Bundys did what they did because they knew no one was coming to help them. All the men around them had lost their land. The enemy had incrementally took everything from everyone around them, and they just decided, screw it. We're just going to go. We're just going to go for it. They put it all on the line. They put it all on the line and went for it, and that is the only way things move forward. You know, we're not going to the revolution is not going to be televised, and I'm not crapping on the situation, but the thing that gets lost in the narrative, people need to recognize that just because the Bundys are beating a few cases and getting out of this doesn't mean the enemy didn't get what they wanted. The enemy has got exactly what they wanted out of this situation. They're probably going to end up in Bundy's land. The enemy won this, really. The enemy won this. We lost. We did not win this. I'm happy that they're not in prison.
What does Mao Zedong say about all political movements?
Barrel of a gun.
Through the barrel of a gun. Not once was it done with peaceful means or negotiations or anything else. Hey, hang on there, Jay. We've got Phil on the line. Go ahead, Phil.
Hi. Great show. Unfortunately, I got in a little late, but on the show. Jay makes some very good points, and I'd like to point out that that unfortunately, since 1865, more precisely, 1861, the civics, your local civics courses, or American government, however you want to call it, have overly emphasized the role of the federal government and have de-emphasized everything having to do with local authority, and anything that's localized, like with the Bundy situation, and everything else, is seen as redneck, hillbilly, you know, and backward. And unfortunately, and they justify this on the grounds of a continuation of the Civil War, and that, well, if we didn't go in there, we'd still have slavery, and ad infinitum, you know, as you know, and so they consider the Bundys as rogue people who are going against the government, even though the government's the one that are crooked. And no one ever corrects the court system, and the court system is going to have to be done through violent means. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but that's what's going to end up happening, and that's what happened in France. And although it was orchestrated by the Freemasons, but you're going to have a pushback, and there's going to have to be one. And it's only going to get worse unless something happens. I'm not advocating violence, but I'm telling you that it's going to happen that way, and they want it that way because that's how they're going to try and bring in UN troops and everything else, that's why they're putting the most crooked people on the top of the top of positions in the courts. They know damn well what's going on, and they're doing it for political gain and for an objective. They want to destroy the government as we know it, and the best way to do it is through the court system, because the court system is one thing that the founding fathers didn't, in my opinion, really do very good at. They kind of avoided it as best they could, but they had to have it. But when you have a very difficult system in controlling rogue judges, and when you have a corrupt system that mandates that you have a law degree and everything else, which is fundamentally leftist in its very core, because all the legal system does is transfer wealth from one person to the other. It doesn't actually produce anything except more legislation, and it doesn't actually do anything constructive within society. You end up having what you have today, and so people, you know, they flee to the federal government rather than looking at the local level, because they figure they have a better chance that way, because it's the as they say in the Soviet Union, the fish rots from the head, and that's exactly what's happening with the court system.
Well, we violated two of the main premises that the founding fathers established this country under. Number one, George Washington and the founding fathers said that this country's laws and its establishment was for a moral, Bible-believing population. It would not work mm-hmm. for any other. And so it's not working, because we have allowed people who do not believe in the Bible, do not believe in its precepts, into our government. The founding fathers said that the only people allowed to govern are people who share the beliefs. If they don't share the beliefs, they don't have a right to govern. The other thing the founding fathers established this country under the premise of the fact that it was a homogeneous population. So not only was it to be a Bible-believing people, it was to be a white nation. It was a white nation. White men from Europe founded it, and it was to govern over a white, homogeneous Christian republic. And we've got everything but that group in Washington now.
Well, to bring that last point forward with it being white, the media will exploit this left and right and try and scare the hell out of blacks and other minorities and stuff like that with these kinds of things in that they're white people trying to stand up for their own rights, and therefore they must be wrong simply because they're white, and that the blacks are dumber than dirt. I mean, they're just plain stupid. There's just no way around it. They're just idiotic, and they are pulled around with a leash, and they don't even bother to think, because they want what they can get, and if they can get the whites to fold, they'll do that, because they can get more free stuff. They don't see it as anything else. It's the law of the jungle. It's thinking primitively, not thinking of it as rights, because you don't have rights in Africa. In Africa, it's all, you know, it's really an utterly crooked land, and it always has been. And historically speaking, they've had the vast majority of their people were enslaved, and very few of them had freedom. While the white lands generally had a lot of freedom for most of its citizens, and very few slaves.
I yield to James David Manning, the black preacher in Harlem, who has a PhD, and he is the one that has publicly stated that this country will die if the white people do not rise up and take back control. The white race made America what it is, and the white race is the only people that can fix this problem. Now, James David Manning said that as a black preacher in Harlem, and I agree with him 1,000%. We founded it. We are the children of Adam that are spoken of in the Bible. We were put here to tend the garden. We were here to administer the law. And America became great when we were in charge, just like South Africa, which was a wasteland. There were no blacks in South Africa when the Boers got there. They turned it into a paradise. And we turned the wilderness of North America into a paradise. And if anybody wants to dispute that, well, then they're disputing facts and history. That's their problem, not ours. We're simply stating the obvious. And that's what James David Manning is doing, stating the obvious. He's no dummy. He's got a PhD. I consider him a fairly intelligent guy. So he's got enough sense to know that his people can't run this country. They can't run anything in Africa. That's obvious. Even the Zulu king has admitted that. The blacks are ruining Africa. They want the whites to come back and operate it. They're just like the woman in the book of Matthew. Yeah, we're dogs, but don't dogs deserve crumbs from their master's table? That's just the way. That's not talking about abuse. That's not talking about racism. It's simply saying we recognize that your biblical purpose is to run things because you have the spirit of the Most High.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's logic.
Yeah. But like, one of the things that's happening, unfortunately, is that the as the blacks are in ghettos essentially, and there's a big control mechanism there that's similar to that of the Jews, and their democratic masters tell them what to do. That's why they vote so monolithically. You know, you don't have that with other groups, but you do have that within these inner city ghettos where they all vote. You know, they all vote on the same party line. And if we allowed them to run the whole country, we'd all have to be out in a democratic dictatorship, you know. And you'd have one party rule like there's no tomorrow. And they do the same thing with the rabbis do with keeping the Jews in certain areas so that they can indoctrinate them and because they, you know, they're the children of the serpent, and they're being their pawns. Yeah, James David Manning, I agree with him 100% too, and unfortunately he's a minority amongst a minority, and you'll never hear him on the mainstream media. You'll never hear him. You know, he's not going to be on any of your television networks or on radio.
Well, they're fake
radio.
News. That's all fake news, of course. That's it. I got a question for both of you, Jay, if you're still with us.
I am.
Okay. I got a question for you. Okay, now, Jay, you brought up a good point, and many other people have brought it up, that this could all be a ploy, the white hats, the Q, and all this stuff. Okay, it's a ploy to keep the white man sitting on his ass and keep his rifle and his combat knife sheathed and on the wall instead of putting him to use. Okay, let's say that that's the way it is. Well, do we have enough time to give this so-called fictitious group, let's say they're out there, do we have enough time between now and January? Can we give them till January to show us who the hell they are? Because January 1st, the military tribunals becomes law. Can we afford to give them till January? Let's put a timeline on it, the month of January. You've got between now and January to show us who the hell you are and what you're doing. Do we have enough time to do that?
That's a tough question. I mean, I would say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we do, because here's the thing. As long as we're not having discussions right now, that people talk about it, but it's not a consistent thing. You know, the only way we're ever going to be able to actually make something happen is if all the Alex Jones types, all these people that are chasing QAnon around, that are what I call awake but not absolutist. They're awake, but they're still having some hope in some areas that guys like me think are just a joke and have been a joke for 20, 30 years. And until those guys come over to our side and start realizing, and just they don't have to go plan anything. I'm not telling anybody to do anything like that. But we all need to get on a consistent message of, yeah, who cares what freaking, you know, government agency's going to do something. We've been waiting 40 years for them to do it. They're not going to do shit. We have to do this. If we would all just reach that attitude, then moves could be making to then we could figure out something. Then things would start to happen. But as long as we're not on that, then basically what we're doing is we're sitting around waiting for the enemy to make their first move.
Well,
waiting for the enemy to make their first move. So, yeah, I would say we've got all the time in the world, because I would say the enemy's not ready to make their move. They're really not. They couldn't, you know, if they, I would love it if all of a sudden they shut the power off and started trying to round everybody up and throw people into FEMA camps. That's a gift. I would be like, it's on. It's on. The enemy's plan is just that they still got work to do. They still got rights they want to take away. They still got things they do. I would say they're several years from being, maybe even a whole generation from actually being at the point where they could, you know, enact the Soviet-style gulags and death camps and everything that they actually want, their actual end goal. I would say that, yeah, we definitely got time. We've got time. They've got time. If we're, well, and until we're on the possession, we're on their time schedule.
Well, here's my point. And I agree with you. We should not be sitting around waiting. However, with the outside chance that we have some good guys trying to do something. And again, I'm basing this on a conversation I had with a person that was telling me that they were retired military intelligence. And many of the things that we discussed that day back in 2010 have come to pass. And everything I see that the Q is putting out there would be the kind of stuff that military intelligence would try to get to the people. So my point is this, and you're right, we can't wait forever. If they are good guys, two things. They need to do something to show us that they're good guys. And number two, we need to be prepared to help them. If they come out and make a move, then our side had better be ready to jump in the field to help them, so that they're not fighting this alone. They need to know that. They need to know that we're not going to wait around any longer. You got till January, guys. That's when the law takes effect. We better see the first ones lined up in front of tribunals, and we better start seeing some treason convictions come out of it, because we know they've committed treason. They got the evidence. So you got till January, and if we don't see it by then the free state of Florida and the free state of South Carolina, the free state of Minnesota, the free state of Nevada, all start to make their moves, because there is no good guys. It's all a psyop. It's all to put us into slow motion or no motion, and therefore we got to go forward with our free state plans. And we don't need to worry about them, because, as you said, Jay, if they had everything they needed, they wouldn't be messing around with Q. They wouldn't be messing around with the psyops and the media to get us to put our guns down. It would already be implemented. So they don't have it. What they need is for us not to do a damn thing. So how about we do a compromise then? We continue to prepare as citizen soldiers, which is our God-given right, and our duty under the Constitution. It's a man's duty to be a citizen soldier per the Constitution. So we prepare as needed as citizen soldiers for two things. If the good guys decide to make a move and show us they're good guys and do the right thing, then we're here in support. You tell us what you want us to do. However, if we find out that you've been pulling our legs, well, then, shame on you, because we're coming after you, too, and we've given you till January of next year. You've got till January of next year. And if they steal, if the Democrats and the Communists steal the midterm election, it's on at that time. Because that's the only way they can do it, just like with Hillary. The only way they could get that witch from hell into the White House is by stealing and rigging the election. We know that. And the only way they can get the majority in the House with the midterms is to steal it or rig the elections for the midterms. And if they do it and they undo everything that the president has done, the things that are going right, well, then we have to move our time schedule up, because that's the sign that there are no good guys, they're not in control, and the Communists will make their move at that point, because they're running out of time. They're running out of time. Too many people are waking up. Too many people are prepared. Too many weapons have been bought. Too many guys with military training are prepared. I've met them over the years I've traveled. They're all over the place. And hallelujah for those guys. They don't get on talk shows. They don't send out emails. They just continue to prepare, quietly, silently training, getting ready. I've met them in my travels. I've seen what they've done. And I'm going to tell you, I would hate to be the guy that's got to go into those mountains and those areas to dig those guys out. because they're mean, they're angry, they're upset, they're patriots, and they're military trained. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy. So what do you think of that plan?
I like it, but you know, but here's the thing. And I know you're loyal to this, many of your listeners will be loyal to this, but you know, here's the thing. It only took 3% of the population to win the Revolutionary War. Okay, only took 3%. The rest of them were passively helping out. Only 3% were actually actively doing stuff to bring the revolution to a victory. Okay, and if you look at the numbers between all of the Alex Jones type listeners, you add up all the freaking numbers of people that have dropped their cable prescriptions. You add up the number of people that are actually watching Fox compared to CNN and blah, blah, blah. And you look at it, we're really at about 4% of people that are at least awake to the level to know that the government's really corrupt and our country is falling apart. And unless something big happens, it's just going to get worse. Now, that's a minimum level of awake, but we have at least 4% of the population right now that is at that level of awake. So we have enough. The only reason this is continuing is because time is infinite. Time is money, okay? And we are selling them time. They come to us and they say, hey, we need more time, and they buy their time from us. How do they buy that time? By getting people that are at that mid-level of awake to have faith in things like Q and white hats and this and that. What I would love to see, and I know that's next to impossible, I wish if we could be in a big room with all of the freaking leaders of the different awake media, from little YouTube guys to, you know, other guys with bigger shows, James Edwards, Alex Jones, I'm just everybody among the awake crew, from small channels to big ones, to get in a big room and have an agreement, almost sign an accord that says that, okay, yeah, if they don't do something by January, from that point forward, the narrative we will all maintain is we will laugh at. If anybody comes to us with any stupid stories about how government's going to fix or whatever, we will shame it, we will laugh at it, and we will say, no, only we can fix this. When we drag them kicking and screaming from their beds in their little cubicles and throw them in the prisons ourselves, that is when things will be fixed.
Amen.
And anything else is selling them time. Because here's the thing. We have their time is up to us. We decide their time. And we need to stop selling them time. And everybody needs to understand, when we have false faith in these things, when we even offer it as plausible, we are selling them time. We are giving them the time they want, because it just gives another excuse for people to sit down. And this isn't just QAnon people. Me and Pastor Dan have gone on and on. Christians are some of the worst about this. It's easy to get a lot of Christians to sit down. All you have to do is stand up and start talking about end times, and they go, oh, well, look, Jesus is going to come back. I don't have to get up and fight. I'll just wait for him to show up.
You're right. Well,
has been buying.
There's actually two camps. There's the camp that thinks that he's going to come back and fight for them, and then there's the camp that thinks they're going to get on the rapture train and get out of here, get a ticket out.
Yeah, and I think the camp that needs to exist is the camp that Jesus isn't coming back until we show that we're worthy of him coming back. And
Amen.
Right now, if I was a father, what are we? We're kind of like a kid that is not being responsible and burning up his money, and we're not showing him anything. So if a father steps in and helps the kid out and buys him out of his trouble without that kid learning the lesson that he can do it himself and he's got the power, well, he's not a good father. He's not a good father, because that kid's going to continue to be irresponsible and not strong. And it makes sense in everything we've seen in life. Well, why would a father step in and save us when we're the ones that are allowing this to continue? We could stop it anytime we want.
Amen.
We just don't have faith enough in ourselves.
All right. All right, Pastor Jay. All right, buddy. Preach it.
I'm sorry.
That was great.
Because you're right on the money, buddy. You're right on the money. I'm going to ask Phil if he's got anything, and then I'm going to try to bring Jimmy on to share with us a little bit. But, Phil, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think that was spot on there with Jay there. I think that, unfortunately, I think what's happening is that there's going to have to be that until the economy people start to really feel it and realize what's happening, because the inflation rate in this country is much, much higher than I mean, it's really going through the roof right now, and people just don't really understand that. Plus, people are losing their jobs. Myself, for instance, I work for a very large healthcare company And we have like 93 clinics in the state of Florida. And today I found out that one of our I know that the company's being bought by United Healthcare, basically, and I've known that since November. But it's in the process of. But the top of the pyramid is run by five Indians from India that live in Canada, and I found out that they actually hired someone to do work. In the corporate end of the record keeping end of the stuff in India, and he's a complete moron. But I was worried that they might outsource things overseas. And when I heard about what was going on with the takeover, all I heard was well, this will cut costs, but no one seemed to like it. And that's what I think is going to happen. You're going to have high unemployment. You're going to have a situation like the Weimar Republic, basically. You're going to have a situation where you have a large number of it's in your face. You have people that have no money, no income, because they don't see the legal system. They know it's corrupt, but if it doesn't touch them, they're so self-absorbed. I said, well, okay, I didn't get in trouble or anything like that, and unfortunately, they're going to blame the Trump administration, obviously, if anything happens. They say, oh, this is a dictatorship and all this other kind of crap, and they're going to try and cover it up, and you know darn well they're going to, and I think we are being inundated with all these things that distract us from our daily lives. We're not having to work. You know, we have things that will occupy our attention that the founding fathers in 1776 just simply didn't have. They really had to work for a living, and it was very hard work. And today you have the state that will take care of you, and you have other things that will keep the economic situation less obvious than it was even during the Great Depression, because that's one of the differences between the Depression and the situation in Germany was that we had a contraction of the monetary supply, and while the Germans had a massive expansion of the money supply with inflation. So we ended up, and they did this so that the American people would get greedy and want to have their money, they'd look for it wherever they could find it, and it would be something that would be stuck in their brain. I need to get money, and I need to get money. While the Germans saw it as basically as poison, and they wanted to get rid of it as much as they could, and that's why what things happened in Germany differently than they did here. Even though there was movements to do the same thing, so I think that I think that I'm hoping that something happens. It's hard to say, but I want to know what level of degree you need to have. Come January 1st, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it, and I've been disappointed every time I lay hopes in Trump and the good guys doing something, but until people see somebody going to trial and going to prison and seeing this in their face, there's not going to be anything. That I don't see any change. And unfortunately, I think the media has so much control. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you have to be on your guard. You have to want to know a truth and know you're being lied to. And I know a lot of people know they're being lied to. They just don't care. They say, "What am I going to do about it?" And so they just move on and watch a movie and stuff like that. So
right. Well, but there are things happening. I mean, you got the Supreme Court of West Virginia. Every one of them was impeached. You've got a whole diocese there in Pennsylvania has been outed as pedophiles. You've got 4,500 people have been arrested for pedophilia and trafficking laws, not only in the United States but around the world. So that's my point. Whether Q's real or not, somebody's doing something different. These things never happened before. So there is a movement of something going on. Maybe the father's doing it. Maybe it's the people's consciences are finally getting to the point where they realize that this is over. I mean, you might as well just become a Satan worshiper if we don't stop this stuff. So something's going on. That's all I'm going to say. Something is happening. We need to be alert as followers of our Yeshua. We need to be alert no matter what's going on, but don't throw it out that there's not a movement going on to try to fix things. And if they are, that we can join forces, because that's all we're trying to do. Put everything back to the way God intended it. The only way it works is under God's law. So let me bring Jimmy on here. Now, if I drop anybody off, I'll bring it back on, because I'm still learning how this damn thing works. All right. Jimmy, I think you should be hot, buddy.
I'm thinking I'm hot, brother. And let me tell you something. boy, am I hot. And Brother Jay and Brother Phil, I agree with you both. But from my perspective, and, you know, I have my real job, but I still run my radio show all day, and that is in itself an education by day. First of all, gentlemen, I don't think we have until January. And I'm going to go back to what Dan just said and kind of go backwards in the conversation. I do like the fact that we are exposing this, that, and the other. But to be the old man pessimist, and by the way, Pastor Dan, the three old men in Tampa had a great meeting on Saturday, and I'm sad that Jay and Phil couldn't join us. But we are the three old men in Tampa. But to go backwards, guys, do you think that what we're seeing, which seems to be relief or something going on, and I don't mean to be pessimistic, but is that pablum? Is it, okay, yeah, we're going to bust these Catholic guys, which we've already known for years that they're all pedophiles. Starks, you know, he got fired. Well, it came out he's still, you know, associated with the CIA. So are we being virtually, and excuse me, kids, but bullshitted into thinking that something is going on? It really, guys, I don't think, and my personal gut is telling me that something is coming prior to or during the midterms. And let me bring this up to you, since I know our time's limited. Let's focus on this kid that stole the aircraft, a twin-engine aircraft, mind you. And I looked at the flight patterns. I talked to some of my retired FBI guys, and I looked at flight data. This guy, even though he did barrels and flippies and all these things, that unless you're an experienced pilot, he made several passes that created an O. And before he went down, if there was a he on board, it crossed into a Q. I know that is fact. I also talked to this guy is 78 years old, retired, frickin' bird colonel. He said, Jim, that aircraft was remote controlled. There was probably no one on board. It was either crashed intentionally or is brought down by one of he called it the hand-me-down F-15. Okay, and there was no evidence of missile and of course, I don't have access to the entire radar scans. But, guys, are we being played? Are we just sitting in the movie theater, which I've said for years on my show, and as much as we have intelligent men and women on the council, and I want to give my shout out to Miss Aiken. She gave a very good presentation there, Dan. But at the end of the day, guys, and I'm going to wrap up with this, what do we know for sure? Jay made great points. Phil makes great points. And frankly, Phil, I read between the lines of what you said. Are you training your replacement? I think the answer to that is yes. Okay. So with that, Dan, I appreciate you having me as part of your show. I love you guys. I trust you guys. But in summary, my comment is, I don't know what the hell to believe anymore.
Well, in the council of many, there is victory. That's the one thing we're told, and I've seen it work my whole life. Victory I had in my professional career and in my military career is because I simply put the things I learned in the Bible to use. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. A prudent man says a lot with a few words. All these little simple one-liners all through the Bible, put them into practice, and guess what? Every one of them works exactly as the Bible says. And so it tells us in there that through the counsel of many, there is victory. So we not only have each other to bounce ideas across, because we know as Jimmy said, each one of us has looked the other in the eye. We've shaken hands. We've seen body language, the inflections in the voice, and the spirit testifies to the truth. So your counselors should be men of like character and like motives. I like the meme that shows the lion pride going through the high grass of the Serengeti, and it says, surround yourself by those on the same mission as you are. So I think it's time to be lions, as our good friend James Lancia said on this show many months ago. It's time for the men to be lions again. It's time for the men to come together, as we're trying to do, and learn from each other and to have counsel with each other to figure out how we should go forward. And you're right. It is difficult right now to know completely who to trust, but we can trust what the Father told us, to keep our eyes and ears open, to judge things based on the things we do know, and to counsel with each other as to how to handle things and how to go forward. And just like tonight, okay, now we've got this situation. I read the latest Q posts. It's got the references to Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians 13. So whoever's putting that on there is putting Bible verses on there, guys. So if it's a PSYOP, I'm not quite so sure I understand the purpose of a PSYOP to get people to read the Bible. It also said that the war is on against the fake news. The gloves are coming off right now, not 6 months from now, right now. And the post tonight said that access of the bad guys to places like North Korea and Syria and all that has been shut off as of tonight. So we don't have to wait till January. We don't even have to wait to the midterms to see if the things that are being posted right now come to pass. These things are happening as we speak. And so that's going to answer a lot of questions that everybody has posted tonight right there. We don't have to wait that long. I was only postulating that could we wait till January, which we probably could. I mean, if the enemy wanted and had the ability to do everything they wanted to do, there'd be no need for any of this. They'd just simply throw us into gulags and execute those of us they don't like, which would be obviously everybody on this call tonight. So we do know that much. We know what the Father told us. We know what we have to look forward to. And we also know what the prophets told us. We know by the signs of the times and the fact that our Messiah, when he walked this earth, he said, I'm telling you the kind of things that are going to happen at the end of the age so that you know them ahead of time. He said it's going to be chaotic. He said there'll be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. And those words in the Greek language don't mean real estate. They mean geopolitical. And look what's happening right now. They're finding out the organized church world, the centralized church world, is corrupt. It's full of pedophiles. All these organizations that are supposed to be out there to help children, such as Child Protective Services and humanitarian groups, they're all a bunch of damn perverts. They're the ones that are actually rounding up children and selling them off into these markets as sex slaves. The very people that we've been told to trust. It's happening exactly as the Messiah told us 2,000 years ago, and it's happening pretty close to what the people, whoever Q represents, has been trying to tell us. And that's all I'm saying. I'm going to stay open. I'm not saying to trust it completely, but I'm seeing an awful lot of things that just don't make sense if it's a PSYOP to get us to sit down, because Q has said the following: never give up, we win, fight, 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 believe in the truth, and fight for justice, and always referring to biblical verses, and sometimes, like tonight, actually have the chapter, the book, the chapter, and the verse. And like I said, for me, that's an awful strange way to run a PSYOP that wants to put us to sleep, to not resist. Because I look at it, at least for me anyway, I look at it as a call to action. I believe we're being called to action. And that goes along with what the intelligence officer and I talked about. If there were good guys, as I've said, the military guys that were let go by the previous administrations, they were good men. They were good men and women who were at the level of admiral and general and staff officer positions like that. If they formed a group that understood that our country was being taken over by these Zionist communists and they wanted to try to stop it, and they would need our help. And that's why I agree with Jay. We should be getting ready regardless of what Q is, regardless if it's a PSYOP or not. We need to get ready because this is a war. This is the final war, folks. Not just for the United States. This is the final battle for Earth. Whether it's the Satanists that are going to win or the righteous are going to win. Which is it? Which side of the fence are you going to stand on? This is it. The final battle. There is nothing to look forward to down the road. I hear people say, well, you know, 20 years from now we'll look back and all this stuff will... No. You don't have that long. There is no 20 years down the road at the rate we're going. You're at that point now.
Hey, Dan, I have an adage that I came up with. And, gentlemen, we all have similar opinions. And, frankly, the men on this call have become my new trusted friends. But I came up with this, and I'm not so sure that I coined it or whatever, but my thing is this, and I'll yield, and I won't break it anymore, and I want to say Yahu bless before I say this, but if you're not at the table, ladies and gentlemen, you're on the menu. If you're not at the table, you are on the menu. And Dan, thanks for letting me kind of pop in. I just wanted to say I believe that I have met you three men in person, once on a couple of us and twice with one of us. And at the end of the exercise, we have broken bread, we have discussed, we've laughed. And gentlemen and ladies, do not sleep without one eye open, because in my humble opinion, I think the brown matter could hit the blades as soon as tonight, tomorrow night, or I don't think we have till January. Anyway, I'm not trying to incite fear in anybody. I don't monetize my channels or shows or sensationalize. It's just my personal gut. But remember, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And with that, Dan, thanks for letting me be a part of your show. Gentlemen Jay and gentlemen Phil and Pastor Dan, Commander Dan, may Yahweh bless all of you three.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, like I said, this is... The time for preparations and all has passed. The time for thinking of the easy way out of things is long gone. The absolute and total corruption of this world just shows you how disengaged the righteous have been. They've been sound asleep. And they were led into this drowsy state by the very people that we should have been able to trust. The preachers, the seminaries, the organized church world, the government leaders, the judicial system, the university system, and central education, which is a complete disaster. Public education is an absolute joke. So all of these things that we were the Pied Piper was playing the tune, leading us down that merry path to our own destruction. All of these things that we were told were for our benefit and for the betterment of mankind have turned out to be absolutely the opposite. And so we're at that end game. The righteous either take a stand now, or as Jimmy said, if you're not at the table, if you're not at Christ's table for the marriage supper of the Lamb, then you're on the menu. And trust me, what the communist Bolshevik Jews do to innocent white men, women, and children, all you need to do is go over and look at the poor history of our cousins in Russia and what they did to them by the multiple tens of millions. All right? Everything from starvation to torture to rape to butchery to murder. They have nothing good planned for you folks. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't plan on going silently into that long dark night. We know who the enemy is, and we need to make preparations for that. When they want to start this thing, then let's be the ones that finish it. We can guarantee them that. They can start it, and we'll finish it. Any other comments?
I think that one of the things that makes me really hopeful, I guess you'd say, is what's been happening with this utter corruption within the Catholic Church. One of the things that that makes me comfortable in knowing is knowing that the victims of these horrible crimes are overwhelmingly Catholic, and they flee in droves. I know they wanted to shut down the whole seminaries in Chile and everything because of their long history of corruption and child trafficking in Chile. So and I saw yesterday they had a Jesuit, which of course you know is a Jewish agent, as talking about it. And he says, "Oh, it's just so bad. There's just got to be something to be done." And he looked horrible. You just want to punch this piece of garbage in the nose. You just want to beat the crap out of him. He's got ears bigger than Mickey Mouse, and you could tell he's just a lying piece of crap. And he didn't say anything about what they're going to do or any kind of punishment whatsoever. And I know that this whole corruption is endemic not only in the Catholic Church but in other churches. I know if I have family that went to a church, and the pastor was covering up a pedophile scandal with the assistant pastor. He was using church money to cover it up, and this guy was messing around with a 14-year-old girl. But you don't hear about it because it's not the big church, the big Catholic Church, but it's rampant, and they'll end up making these other churches that are just utterly disgusting. There's a church by my local restaurant that I go to. It's called the Love Chapel. I don't even want to think about what's going on in there, but this kind of thing is really getting people to just absolutely hate the crookedness of the system. And I know a lot of people that grew up Catholic and they don't want to have anything to do with it. They just want to flee for the hills, but they still try and maintain their moral dignity and their pride in who they are and their heritage, but they just can't stomach what's going on, and we're the ones that are suffering from it more than anything, and there's going to be the fact that this is coming out to such an insane degree and it's getting worse. It just seems to be getting worse and worse. It makes me realize that the whole thing has just got to go. It's just gone. You know, it's gone down the sewer, and there's nothing you can do to salvage it. And I praise Yahweh for that, because it's been needed for a very long time now.
Amen to that, Jay.
Oh yeah, everybody knows where I stand on it. They're not going to do it. They're never going to start it. They're never going to start it. And if you wait for them to start it, it'll be too fucking late. It'll be too fucking late, and there will be no hope. Whatever you've got lying in your closet, buried in the backyard, whatever you got, it'll be too late. These guys know what they're doing. We are giving them the time. Every day that goes by, every child that gets raped, every person that gets wrongfully prosecuted, every white person that has to be genocided through the death of being killed by other races for $5 in their pocket or whatever, every day that that's allowed to happen, it's because of us, the awake, this 4%, all of us that are awake, continuing to have faith that somebody else is going to fix it for us. The enemy is going to do us a favor. The enemy is going to collapse their own economy. It's never going to happen. The only way it'll happen is we must achieve it. And I think that's what God wants. Why would a father want to bail his children out because he knows they're just going to fail again? Let's make them proud. You want him back? Earn it.
Dan, may I?
I can't argue with that one bit. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All right, first of all, Phil, you're so spot on. And CJ, we're all different. We're all the same, but we're all different, if that makes sense. And see, I am not a pacifist. I think I've said on my shows and your shows, my mom was Swedish and my dad was Scottish. I get my heart from mom and my balls from dad. Okay? And I am a compassionate, professional man. But I have to stand with Jay right now 100%. And if we don't do something, and Jay dropped an F-bomb, so I'm going to. If we don't do something,
sorry about that, I didn't realize I did it.
Well, and you know what? My friend, it's passion. It's not that we're rednecks, but if we don't do something, ladies and gentlemen, we are fucked. Period. Period. End of story. I hold 2 degrees, PhDs, and those are post hole diggers, as our friend Mike on this show. I actually bought myself a new post hole digger, and I have it in the back of my studio. But at the end of the exercise, to be back to serious, we, as men and the ladies, Miss Aiken stands tall. But at the end of the exercise, Pastor Dan, the host of this show, Jay and Phil, my question always is when I close my show down, and I'm going to disclaim that we're not going to discuss this on air, but what are we going to do?
Go ahead, Jay.
Real quick, I'll add, have you guys ever seen that movie Alive? Have you ever seen that movie Alive about the guys that crashed in the
80s? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jay.
You remember all those characters in there? This is, you know, everybody there depended on everybody else. Even the ones that died sustained the ones that's still alive, and that's where I am right now. I may have this hard rhetoric, but I can't do this without you. I cannot do this without you guys' help. I don't have the equipment. If I've got gunpowder, one of you has brass, another guy's got lead.
I ditto that, sir. Go ahead. I don't mean to talk over you, but... Yeah, we cannot do this alone. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry, but yeah.
No, but just like in that movie, there was that one guy that whenever everybody else was hoping for, you know, the weather to change or our rescue to come or somebody to notice something, all of these ideas that were dependent on somebody else, some mythical thing from the outside helping their situation. But there was that one guy that whenever he heard the search parties were not coming anymore, he says, okay, good. And they all got scared, looked at him, and he goes, because we're going to get ourselves out of this. Now, he was never a jerk about it, but he maintained that the whole time, that until a couple of us get together and start walking out of here, we're never going to get – we're going to continue to slowly die off, and we're never going to get where we have to save ourselves.
Amen, Jay.
That's, when I say those things, that's what I say. But just like him – he couldn't have made it out of there by himself. He needed other guys to make that sleeping bag. He needed other people to put the food together and make sacrifices so those three other men could help their way through. I can't do this alone. However, no move is going to happen, I feel, until we all come to the conclusion that it's up to us and only us. We have to fix it. Nobody else
Jay,
is going to come
four
in
of us. There's four of us on this call, and we have all four met eye to eye. We've broken bread. We've discussed. And at the end of the exercise, and I want to disclaim it, we're not overthrowing the government or conspiring. But again, Jay, you know, I have all kinds of analogies. I said in my staff meeting this morning, here we all sit on my front lawn with fire hoses that are charged with billions of gallons of water and pressure. And we see the fire coming at us. But we're all sitting on our asses. And by the time that raging fire approaches the property, which no pun intended, because I think this is what's happening in California, it's too damn late. What do we do, gentlemen? And we can have that conversation up there. And
no,
with that,
no. Everything we say is candid. And for 19 years, I have not been afraid of the enemy. And
well,
I'm not
afraid either, Dan. I was being respectful.
Screw.
Because, gentlemen,
I know that.
You know what? And you've heard my story. I lost my girl 2 years ago to cancer. I miss her. She would be standing with us right now. But right now, on my property, even with my responsibilities in business, I stand ready. You call me at 3 this morning, and you deliver some kind of authorization to my front door, I've got a ready bag. I'll go. And it's I'm ready. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I understand. I got a question for Jay. Jay, let me ask you this. In a perfect world where you could have anything you wanted, what would you want right now? What would you want to see to bring this about? What in your mind? Okay, we're going to go there. Theoretically now, what in your mind would bring this about? What do you see happening? What would be how this would play out?
What do I see? If I could have anything I want, yes, I would re-raise up all of the fallen German and Confederate soldiers to rise from the grave so they could join with me while I charge the damn block out. That's what I really want. If I'm going to answer this in a realistic context of what I could say happened that would move this forward, it's very simple. Everybody just has to come to the conclusion that what we have been doing with QAnon, with end times prophecies, with weather, with all of these other things, with the economy collapsing. Every time we put faith in that idea without quickly following it up with, but in the end, only we can fix this, is that we're giving them time. I want to stop selling them time. Everybody just needs to come to the conclusion that only we can fix this. And I think a big reason a lot of people won't face that is because they're scared, because they actually think that it's impossible. It's impossible, and it's not impossible. Look at the Bundy thing. That right there, less than 10 years ago, we had an incident in this country that if somebody would have fired a shot in that situation, it would have been identical to what happened at Lexington and Concord, and the whole country would have been lit on fire. And if I went to people in 1928 and said, hey, you know what, Prohibition's going to end in a couple of years, they'd have told me I was crazy. If I'd have been walking around Italy before frickin' Mussolini made his march and said, hey, you know, in a year, Mussolini's going to come in here and the king is going to hand power over to him, they would go, you're nuts. That's never going to happen. We can't get this fixed. Yeah, it can happen. We can do anything we want. We are the white race. We do this all the time. We do it throughout history. This idea that we've got in our head that the only people that can fix a tyrannical government are people that are in that government, that is a new thing, and it's ridiculous. And that's all I want. If I could just get people to realize that only we are going to be able to fix this problem.
Point of order.
I don't even want plans. I just want them to come to that conclusion. Once everybody's on that same page, then we'll move forward. Then plans will initiate. But right now, it's like you can't make plans. There is no plans because everyone's still having false hope in things that the enemy wants us to. Stop selling the enemy time. That, if I could get that, just that alone, I guarantee within 5 years we'll have everything fixed. If everybody that's of the awake community, I'm not talking about the zombies, forget it. 4%, we have enough right now. I just want everybody that is even mildly awake to just come to the conclusion that no government, nobody else is stepping in, the enemy's not going to collapse their own system, only we can do it. Once that happens, then real conversations will start, and then moves will start happening.
All right, but until I got a question. Okay, let's hypothetically now, you've got an army of people that are out there waiting, Jay, right now. They understand everything you've just said. They're out there. They're prepared. They understand that nobody else is going to fix this thing. They're looking for a sign. In your mind, what is the sign that tells them that they can rally? The Bible calls it a standard, to raise a standard for my people. What form would that standard take to let these men, and sometimes women, but predominantly men are the warriors, What is the sign that tells these warriors it's time to come together and fight?
Their white skins living in a location that I can get to in less than a half an hour. They all must be in one place. Everybody's got to come to one place. Everybody's got to be in one area. When we're all spread out, nothing's going to get done. That standard is going to be that location with all those people standing there, all those white skins standing there around me. Then it'll happen. Then it's easy, guys. It's really not that complicated. Hell, if we just controlled one damn county, if we had one county that were of this level anywhere in the country, we could just go in there and we could say, you know what? I think it's immoral that we continue to send soldiers over to a government to train them so that they can be killed by their own hand at a rate of 225% higher than the enemy has ever killed. More of our soldiers since 9/11 have committed suicide than have been killed by the enemy's only killed about 23 or 26,000 of our soldiers. Over 200,000 in higher numbers have killed themselves. So basically, our own government is better at killing our own soldiers through their training than the enemy is. Well, you know what? Based on that, I think it's immoral to send our sons and daughters and to fund a government that does that. So here's what we're going to do. In our county, there is going to be no more income tax. No more income tax. Anybody that does business in this county, you don't have to pay your people income taxes. And if the feds decide to show up and forcibly extract that, well, not only are you going to have to deal with the sheriff, but since everybody in town is on board with this, we know what kind of jerks we're dealing with, you're going to have to deal with the whole town. We will show up, arrest you, tie you in the back of a truck, and push you across the county line. And if one of you is dumb enough to bust leather on us while we're trying to stop you from doing your immoral, evil act, well, guess what? It's going to be on. Trust me.
Well, hey, Jay, Jay, real quick. Hey, do you remember my example of us sitting on my front lawn with a charged fire hose and we see the fire coming? You're exactly parallel to that. And see, at the end of the day, everything we just talked about in the last 10 minutes is absolutely spot on. But I think... I'm getting some emails in on my, because I'm mirroring this on my show, and Jim, cut to the chase. What do we do? And
All right.
Move closer.
So
move closer.
Well, Jay said on a good point here. We got something going. Let's keep going with this. All right, Jay, you made an excellent point. Now, assuming that to be true. Assuming everything that we've talked about to be true, where? So that to me, as I'm listening to this, my logic is telling me, all right, where? I think Yahweh already has leaders for us. He's already given that mission to his chosen. That's already been done. Where?
Hillsborough County, where? Dan, because two of the four of us are here, and I don't give a rat's ass. Hell, I'm not going to give you my address, but I probably would. You know what? I'm just going to say this on air. I have the land. I have the community. And I'll tell you what, guys. Two soldiers are in Hillsborough County. One is Phil and one is me. The other is Jay, and the other is Dan, and they need to get their ass close here, because with the radio communications, if you give me a second, Dan, I share some new technologies with you that I'm working on today. I have ham radios, I have solar, I have pumps, I have two deep wells, Listen, I don't want to do this either, guys. I really don't. But it's time. And like Jay nailed it. If we keep giving them time or selling them time and buying into all these other airplanes getting stolen and FBI people getting fired and all this other horse crap, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. The fire is coming, gentlemen. I have the fire hoses. I got two guys on my front lawn, if I may invite Phil.
I'm there.
Well, I know you are. You're right here in my jurisdiction. And Dan and Jay, I've met Dan twice with another constituent. We had another very, very good meeting, except Dan, my ass cheek hurts from walking up and down those stairs, which tells me I need to get out and maybe get a little exercise. But at the end of the day, guys, I ain't bragging. I've got the telecom. I've got the computers. I have weapons. I have fuel, tons of fuel, solar, batteries, food, two deep water wells. And it's – Jay, I'm going to come back to you, if I may, defer to you. I loved your comment. We keep selling them time. Are we sitting on the front lawn with these charged fire hoses and we're not up as men putting out the fire? And
okay.
Now it's a yeah, it's here.
Yeah, okay.
I would say that Pastor Dan's question, both of yours, you know, where? Well, okay, if we're going to get into actual strategic numbers, I'll say that, yeah, you know, can we do it with 100 guys? Can we do this with 1,000 guys? No. No, but everything has to start somewhere, okay? And I'm going to rip them off, and I'd like to give credit where credit is due because we're not doing this for money, and I'm not trying to prove how damn smart I am. Everything that I talk about is stuff that people older than me, some of them are now dead, talked about first. Harold Covington and the Northwest Front, they had the idea. And I'm going to tell you, the two locations that are going to be most plausible for something like this to happen is either going to be up in the Northwest, like they've been planning for years, or down here in the South, we've talked about it. Why everyone, you know, you're going to need a whole state. Now, you're going to have to start with the community. It's all going to have to start somewhere. It's all going to have to start somewhere. We're going to have to slowly start moving people in. But as long as everybody knows that when they get here, what is the purpose for you moving closer to these areas? What is the purpose to be moving into Florida to bring about the free state of Florida? Because to actually be able to stand against the enemy, to be at a significant number where the enemy has to stop, and basically it's kind of like Clive and Bundy's situation. There were so many people looking at that that they couldn't just do to them what they did to J. Edgar Steele and Bill White. They couldn't just arbitrarily throw them into prison on bullshit Texas and do whatever the hell they want. They couldn't do that. They're in a situation where they're like, okay, we got to deal with that differently. Well, we need to be in that same situation. And to be in that same situation, yeah, we're going to need to at least control an entire state. Now, where I say Florida is defensible is because if all we controlled is the state of Florida, that's it. They've got a real problem on their hands because we don't have to get into all the fine out details, but the way the free state of Florida would operate under God's law would basically make us one of the most dangerous countries to ever invade and ever give a lot of trouble for. We're going to be a pro-white nation, but are there going to be other races here? Yeah, because we don't have the money to kick them all out. And honestly, we're anti-communist 100% because we all know where communists are coming from. So why would I want to round up a bunch of Cubans and kick them back to Cuba? You know what I'd rather do is I'd rather arm them up, train them a bit, and let's go help them take Cuba back. Okay, and I'll tell you what, we're going to need all the resources and money and things putting into the system that we can to be able to sustain some of the old people that are here and to do everything that we need to do. We don't have time to be kicking everybody out. But here's the thing, is when we stop the social welfare, all the most of your degenerates are just going to leave. And when we open up the prisons, we let everybody know, hey, guess what? If you want to stay, that's fine, but let me explain the law to you. And there's going to be no more of this arrested 10 different times. Pretty much. When you can't pay the restitution, which will probably be about $10,000 based on whatever idiotic crime you get, you're going to get fucking hung. It's over. They're just going to leave, too. They're going to know it's up. They're not going to mess with us. And with the economic opportunities we're going to offer, it will grow from there. It is a defensible place. It is a defensible location. And they'll have a serious problem on it. The other side is the Northwest Front. I wish both would exist. If both could be come into existence at the same time, that would be the greatest thing in the world for us. Because it would throw the enemy off. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. And the enemy is in a position now that there's two ways this could go down. This could either go down the way the Soviet Union went down in 1918, which is what we really don't want because that's going to be a freaking mess. Or it could go down the way the Soviets went down in 1989. And the only way it's going to go down the way it did in 1989, where they just, you know, gave up control of a bunch of their different satellite states because they consolidated their power and they couldn't afford to do it anymore, is if all of the people that believe what we believe are concentrated in one area. But if we continue to languish on the sidelines and wait for the enemy to make their move, it's going to be like 1918, and the chances of us having victory in that situation is going to be slim because that'll be exactly what they want.
So let me ask a question here. Since this is both biblical and secular, what we're talking about, because it's historical and it's in your face, and empirical evidence is everywhere. But we also want to include the biblical aspect here. So from my perspective, as I'm looking and listening, what is our fleece? I've always believed in the idea of the fleece, and you can look that up in your scriptures if you want. The idea is to see what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. I don't want to do anything on my own, because I know success comes when I do what He wants us to do. What's our fleece then? I'm asking every listener, and that includes the people over on Jimmy's Bank versus UTV folks. And in fact, they've got more listeners over on Jimmy's channel than I've got here on mine. I'm asking everybody, what is our sign that Father is going to bless? We have to challenge Him, and He doesn't mind that. He knows that that's the way we work. We're like little children. We want to know what our Father wants us to do. So thinking about what you just said, Jay, and I want Phil and Jimmy to respond as well. What is the fleece that we're looking for? What do you think would be the fleece that is the green light to go racing forward with this concept?
If I may, Dan, our team, and I agree with Jay, the four of us, as powerful as we are in our business positions, our experiences, is great. But the word team is big, huge in any of the business structures that I set up. And I like small teams to get the job done. We can interface with thousands of people across our great globe, which I do, but it's my small team, just like we have tonight. At the end of the exercise, I've said, Dan, the only thing I'm missing, because I have a team, and you guys, you three are my newest members, and I call it the treehouse. But I've said it on your show, Dan, and I've said it on my air over years. I need the badge of authorization.
That comes from on high. The enemy's the enemy's not going to give us a badge of authorization to do anything.
Okay, and I agree, sir. But I am, let's just review the day in news. And when I read that kids were raped, and my God, I aired a lot of this on the show, and, what we don't know, and I question myself, is this propaganda to make us think that something is being done? All that, I put it aside. And I say, I want to get up out of this chair and move my microphone boom away and let it kiss Kim's microphone, get up out of this chair with my armor of God and my sidearm, and go out there and just get it done. And there is no way in hell, real quick, and I'll yield, that anybody on this planet is going to sell me that 60 people got shot in Chicago and it's a gun-free zone. I mean, my God, people, stop putting your damn hand in the fire and wanting that your hands burning. Gentlemen, ladies, we're smarter than this. We have so many resources in this country to be a great country. Why in the world are we letting it go into a shithole? Why?
Jay?
I'm going to, on your question of a fleece, my interpretation of the meaning of that word may be off, but if I am not off, I would say the fleece is the sign that God favors us and we are going to be successful. He is blessing our endeavor in the free state of Florida. That's my interpretation of what the meaning of the word fleece is. And if that is what you're asking, the fleece is going to be, and I hate to boil down to this, Rome was not built by talk and ideas. It was built by sweat and bricks being laid and people making moves and actually doing it. And to create the free state of Florida, We need to get this message out there. We need resources. We need help. We need an avenue to hit the enemy. We need, he brought it up with business, yes. And that it will be seen as a win, not only to us here talking, but other people that don't even know anything about the Free State of Florida. You know what I'd like to see by January? I would like to see us become a serious party on the field. I don't care if that is just 10 guys living in an area in some town near Pastor Dan that is constantly doing advocacy, that is using Mr. Jimmy's TV program to go out and do things like interview, you know, when cops or law enforcement or judges get fired for racist reasons, and the mainstream media runs out there and does their little clip show. Well, I'd like to see us step in and interview those people and put out our own media recognition. We have to get the name out there. We have to get, when the tide is rising, the tide is rising. Mussolini, Hitler, all those guys were surfers, and there were 20 of them out there. There were other guys just like them with different movements trying to take advantage of the rising of the tide that was happening in Germany. Well, who had the best surfboard? Mussolini in Italy and Hitler in National Socialist Germany, and it was because of all the work that was done by the SA, all the work that was done by all the people around them, going out, knocking on doors, passing out flyers, saying, yes, we are with the National Socialist Party. This is our name. This is our symbol. This is who we are. We need to get that name recognition out there. And the only way that's going to happen is through, God, I hate to mention it, but money and resources. And okay, we need that. We need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. And if people saw that happening, if people saw the mainstream media put in a position where they need to come down and interview you, but to find out about the Free State of Florida, because so many people are talking about it, and it'll freak the enemy out once that happens, that will be a sign to everybody that, oh, this is serious. And then all of a sudden people will start moving, because I would say 90% of our people feel just like Jimmy is. They're so sick and tired of talking. They're dying to get up and make a move. If there was actual active resistance going on, I honestly feel like we would not have the arms and uniforms to arm all the volunteers. So many people want to do something about this. So many people want to do physical action. They just don't know. They feel like they're alone, because there is no organization. There is no party professionalism. There is no one group they can go to, because there's many reasons for that. But that's what we need. That would be the fleece. That would be would be.
Hey, Jay, remember the song by Warren Zevon, Money, Guns, and Lawyers? We have guns, we have lawyers, and we got a little bit of money. So don't sell yourself short that the group that I have personally, and I'm sure Dan has, and I'm sure you gentlemen have, if money is not going to hold us back with a good plan. Good lawyers, I work for a law firm. We hate lawyers, too. And I'll say it on air. I have guns. I have more than two. Okay? So Warren Zevon, money, guns, and lawyers. And if the guys can get together, and I happen to be where I'm at, and it would take me a year to relocate based upon what I have going here. Phil's here. So I'm going to say best 2 out of 4 says you guys get your asses up to Tampa. And I think the 4 of us together with our cross section of talent and diversity and the ability to sit down and have these conversations, that's a powerful group, gentlemen. And with that, Dan, I yield back. But
I would say the fleece is going to be us being successful in those things that we talked about. Because without getting too deep into it, because we can't at this time, we all talked about ways we could get the surfboard for Pastor Dan and the Free State of Florida. So
I already have that worked out, Jay. I do.
And that would be the fleece.
Well, there's been a lot of progress on that. And I invite you, if you have a moment tomorrow, give me a call. Because I have looked into what you and I discussed in our side chat with the guys at the table, and it's well in work, the blockchain and this, that, and the other, and there's a lot of things to catch up with you on that. But to focus back and yield back to Dan, there is never been a business that I've been involved in that has not been successful when the men and sometimes ladies are not in the same jurisdiction. Now, with technology and, you know, what I've built with our video lawyer on demand and Zoom conferences and Skype and even this call, I mean, look, we're all coming from different jurisdictions. But at the end of the day, guys, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I love technology. But I would rather sit down face-to-face like we have done and to come back to see, I'm not so sure, and I'm gonna pose this to Jay, Dan, if you give me another minute here. My dad taught me how to box and how to fight, but he also taught me to let the other guy throw the first punch, and then when the guy throws the first punch, then you kick his ass. Okay? And that goes back to what you said. You know, we're selling them time, and hell, I've made comments, and hell, I've had the FBI to my studio now 4 times in the past 4 years, telling me to shut up and tone it down. But they were actually good guys. But you see my point, Jay? It's a time for us to stand up and rock 'em, sock 'em, or do we sit and wait for the imminent to where we're crippled? We have no power, limited power. Our food supplies are gone. Our fuel systems are gone. You see where I'm going, Dan and Jay Phil?
No.
All right, I yield.
Yeah, that's down the road. That's stuff down the road. Jay's talking about you have to get something started. And it starts when you get a group of men, whatever the size may be, that get together and decide that they're actually going to do something. In this case, we're talking about occupying a section of land, whether it's 5 acres, 50 acres, or 500 acres. Come together and build, put up simple homes and have meetings and a place. When Father says raise a standard, it's exactly as you guys have said. Our people are fed up. That's why they're listening now. They're out there. I got a guy that's part of the state militia out in the Northwest that sent me a notice. They're listening, and he informed me that they're all over the United States. They're not just in one area. These guys are listening. So we have an audience that we don't even know about that's out there, and they're listening. And Jay is right on the money when he said that. Our people are fed up. They're seeing that nothing is working. It's just injustice after injustice after injustice. They want to see a standard. They want to see righteous men who have said enough is enough, and they have to come together somewhere. To me, the fleece is somebody out there hearing this message has got to have some place where we can go. Instead of just talking about it, somebody has to put up. And like Jay said, we can't do this alone. If just 4 of us are going to go out there, then we become 4 martyrs, and the next day nobody even knows we ever existed. And I'm not going to go that way. This has got to be a team effort. And so there's a team out there. And if you want to see it, you want leadership, well, right here you got 4 guys that are willing to step up and be leaders. If you want something to change, you've got to get off your wallets or off your land or off your resources or off your ass some way and then somehow be part of this coming together to make a change. You can't expect 4 guys to do it all. They don't have the time, money, and energy to do it all. We've got the idea, we've got leadership, and we certainly got the biblical basis for it all, and our goal is justice. Who the hell doesn't want justice?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think that what we need to do is, I think we need to come to some ideas is not only to plant a seed, as Jay was talking about, as having a home base and that kind of thing, and have more home bases throughout the country, but we need to, like, be willing to stand up against, you know, not to have, threaten those that are putting up these 5G towers, okay, and not have them in our area, and
exactly.
not have any GMO and Monsanto and all that other poison and all that other crap. Because once you start doing that, once you put God's, Yahweh's world the way it's supposed to be, it will grow, and you'll get the racial element, the food laws and everything else. These will come, these will begin to grow like a mustard seed, and we'll have a forest of followers, and the enemy will flee from us. And if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to stand on our principles and not be worried about if we might hurt somebody's feelings. But we do need to have some place to go. We need to have whether it's in Florida or anywhere else, we need to be able to build these things. And I'm sure there are people out there that have the money and the resources to do that. And until we have a base of operations, we're just whistling Dixie, and that's no offense to Dixie, because I love Dixie.
Applause, Phil. You are absolutely spot on. To be candid, I own 300 acres up in Kentucky, and that's been with my partners and such our bug out, except with all due respect to them, one of them thinks I'm kind of overreacting, and that's more for retirement and this, that, and the other. There's beautiful mountains. There's hydrogen on the land. There's mountainous areas to dig in and get underground. But here's my angst, and thanks, Dan, for giving me a minute here. My gut has rarely ever served me wrong, and it is very nervous right now in that I don't think we have till January. I don't think we have 5 years or 10 years. I hear biblical and people that I trust that are biblical, Dan, that are like, Jim, calm down. The 7 year, this, that, and the other hasn't happened. And with all due respect, I'm like, bullshit. Look at it. Look at it. Look, now we're bringing in 100 or what? How many thousand priests for pedophilia? Is what we're seeing in what the mainstream media is now feeding us, because they have no choice, simply propaganda again. How is it that we can reset to the facts, gentlemen? How is it? If I watch my weather radar and I see thunderstorms over my property and I go out and the damn sun's out, I'm being lied to. It's that simple.
Well, that we don't wait around for that. Jay's spot on when he says that.
Well, that's my point, Pastor Dan. That's my point.
But
real quick, and I'll yield. But what are we waiting around for?
For people
that
join it and be able to put up the resources and/or assistance to make it happen. As
okay.
Jay
do
said,
we have? Do we have a business
do
plan?
It alone.
I understand. Well, do we have a simple document that states what we need? Because, listen, guys, I'm not really interested in a roommate, but I got
no,
a piece of land and power and computers. Well,
we need a piece of land.
Okay. Well, if the shit hits the fan, I have a piece of land that would house four guys with power. Yeah. Water, computers, blah, 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 blah. Well, I know. Okay, well, let's go back to the other projects we talked about. You and I have been looking at real estate, and frankly, I'm on the cusp, Dan, because they both have FAA heliports on them.
Well,
I mean, my God. Is that what we're looking for? Or are we looking for just to buy a big old hayfield? I don't mean that funny.
That's fresh water.
Well, of course. But in Florida, it would take me one day to drill 100. I have two freshwater wells on my land. It doesn't take a rocket science to excavate down to the aquifer to draw up even gasoline pumps or whatever. My shit's a professional installation with $600 motors and blah 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 blah. But at the end of the day, in Florida, if you have a good pressurized garden hose, you can drill down and hit water. Okay, if it's a matter of survival, are we talking about a field where we put up tents and motorhomes and provide subsistence the best we can?
Well, we're talking.
I think you hit the key word.
Go ahead, Jay.
I think you hit the key word. The key word is we must provide it. Here's the thing. I personally, and I don't have a problem if other guys say this is the way about it. The way I feel about it is, no land. The only land that should be obtained is either obtained because somebody straight up wanted to donate it to the Free State of Florida project, which I would actually rather it happens this other way, and that is that the Free State of Florida project, through its own resources, is able to achieve it by one of our own business inquiries or through donations from the many people within our group. That is the way I feel the best way it should be done. And we have an idea of a way to be able to create resources for the Free State of Florida project, and I think that is what we should concentrate on. And
well, Jay, let me ask you this. And we can talk off air if you like, but is that something that money can be diverted into? And I'm not saying I'll tell you what color underwear I'm wearing right now, which is none. But you know, the Free State of Florida project you've mentioned over and over again is cool. So is that what we fund, and that's what we drive from, and that's where we buy land through? Seriously,
yeah,
I mean, is that okay? I need more education on that. Yeah.
Well, it's all about how does the Free State of Florida project get its resources? And the Free State of Florida project resources can only be legitimately created by two ways: either straight up donations from the members. And honestly, I don't think we'd be in a position to be able to acquire those kind of donations until we have a reason for members to want to join. And the when members will want to join is when we can show them that we have something going on. We have a way of attaining resources that is outside of just asking our people to give us money or to give us
well,
money.
Jay, I'm going to put on my legal business hat here. Is the Free State of Florida a tag name, or are we incorporated, and do we have a trust? And if the answer is no, in 48 hours, I will make sure that's set up. And maybe this is something we should talk about off air, but, you know, we have to have a basis first. We need a bank account. For the interim, you know, we can get silver. We can do all the stuff that we all want to do. But at the beginning, we've got to have money, guns, and lawyers. Money, guns, and lawyers. Right. Money. For that, guns to defend ourselves and lawyers to keep the IRS off our ass.
Well, here's what you need before you need any of that stuff. You need people who see the signs of the times, and just like the Israelites in Egypt, realize it's time to get out. It's time to start over again, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. If people
all right, Pastor
want to be
Dan,
part, if people hold on a minute, if people want to be part of something and think that they can just keep the status quo and keep everything the way it is, then nothing is going to change, and we won't have what we need. We need whatever number of people out there that believe that we're the guys that can get it done, and believe in what we're talking about, to step up and say, "I want to be part of what you're doing." And here's what I can bring to the table, whether it's labor, conferencing, mentoring, teaching, donating, marketing, building houses, obtaining land. Everybody's got something. And what it's going to take is a group of our brothers and sisters who say, I like what those guys are saying. I want to be part of it, and get a hold of us and say, here's what I can add to what you're doing, whatever it is. And when we get enough people doing that, then it'll come to us to sit down in council and figure out what to do with this person, this person, this person, and what they bring. Until that happens, everything we're talking about is just smoke in the air. It's just
Well, work. Pastor Dan, I disagree, because we have to have some type of basis of financial, or we just wing it, which we are doing, and we're doing a good job at it. But at the end of the exercise, if you're going to go out and ask for people to donate to a cause, whether it be money, hard dollars, hard cash, or land, you know, and I said this to you gentlemen at the table, and we need to set up a trust. Maybe we call it the Florida Freedom Trust or whatever, I'm sorry, Jay, whatever your name was, your nickname for the project. But at the end of the day, while we're planning, we have got to structure the input and output of the financial resources. Now, if I throw in, say, $100,000, I'll throw it into the group. I don't need to worry about that. But $100,000 will go, like, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow. You see where I'm saying it? Maybe this is appropriate to have off air.
Well,
but there does need to be some structure if we're going to bring in.
The structure comes when you've got a group of people that want to do something.
They have to know if they're going to come to my house for dinner. I have to say, hey, I'm having steak tartare, and here's my address. These people have to have something to identify with, Dan. That's
Party
all I'm saying.
Professionalism. Party professionalism. Basically, guys, what we've been saying over and over again is that if you want to sit at the table, you have to ante. Nobody's allowed to sit at the table unless they put something on the table. And once you put something on the table, you're probably not getting that back. Okay.
If you're not at the table, Jay, you're on the menu, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Well,
go.
And you ante something on it. So, you know, we'll be straight up with everybody. You know, opportunity has presented itself of an unprecedented nature. And, you know, and others might be in a position to put more on the table than others. But I say that we take what we've got and we go for it, because if it's successful, we will create the table that others can come and put their ante on now.
That's my point.
Well, Jay, you know what? What do we have?
We just got to go for it. We just got to go for it.
What do we have right now? Let's say on air. Okay, we have
I don't think we should. Yeah, I don't think we can allude to exactly what our next move is, but I think we need to go forward with it. I think we'll have to have that conversation tomorrow, and I really think right now that's our best move to show everybody that, you know, we're dead serious about this, and we're willing to, you know, put up or shut up. But the problem is everybody else up needs to freaking understand.
Well, Jay, we have tenacity.
Jay's hit it. Right there is our fleece, and it's our first move. We have to see a response of those who want to ante something up. If you don't want to ante anything up, then you're not going to be part of the solution, period.
I know, but what we're saying, Dan and Jay and Phil, is that we have a dedicated group, which is my favorite term, tenacity. We have computers, telecom, we have dedication, which is back to tenacity. We have four men here that basically, and I am so gifted by the Lord above, because I still have my responsibilities, guys, But I don't answer to anyone but my Father above. I get up in the morning religiously when the sun comes up. I direct my own day. I do everything I want to do.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do is we should have like some sort of like a place where the, where people can put their name down, a contact number, and what they're willing to put on to the table, and put that on both of you guys' websites, and offer that up on every time you have it on your show.
Well, Phil, I can do that at the end of the day, but I'm going to go back to people. People want to know. There's so many scams out there, as you well know. I mean, my God,
FBI. We're not going to start out asking people to donate money or anything.
Right?
That,
yeah,
like that.
I agree.
No.
I agree.
What we're looking
Dan,
for,
yeah,
and
we
what
don't
Jay
need their money right now. Yeah,
is just people that say they're going to bring something to the table. That's what they're going to ante. We don't want. We don't want gold. We don't want silver. We don't want dollars. We don't want cars. We don't want thousand-acre tracts of. That's not what we're asking for. We just want to see the symbolism that you're in this, and it's not just a game. It's not just a fad. You believe, as we do, that something's got to be done, and you can bring something, even if the something you're bringing to the table is your own sorry ass and a beat-up RV, and that's all you own.
Yep. Yep. Well, look at the three wise men.
I know three men. I know three men right now have told me they will be wherever we decide to be in their old beat-up RVs to take part in what we're doing. But there are only three of them. I'm not going to tell them to come to Florida when it's just us and three other guys. But that's not what I'm looking for. I want to see guys contacting us, any one of us, that say what these guys told me. Dan, when you give me the sign, this RV is on the road, and I'll be to Florida. Or like my son has told me, Dad, when you call me, I'm quitting my job, and I'll be in Florida. That's what I'm looking for.
Boy, you nailed it, Dan. Hey, real quick, hang on. I've got guys right now, Pastor Dan, that are two of them with IBM, and they're in Seattle. And they're like, Jimmy, if you're serious, I will leave this bullshit life and come down there and join you guys. So I hear you, Dan. The men, they're waiting for us to give them the signal, Dan. And that's kind of what I think I'm hearing from you, right?
That's what I'm hearing. And, I don't want money. I don't want materials. I want to see an attitude. I want to see a dedication to do something and set things straight. That's where it starts. All the rest of it comes afterwards. When does Father bless us? What's the word say? Father blesses us when we get our head and our heart straight and get in alignment with Him. That's all I'm asking. When the body of Christ out there says, I've had enough of the pedophilia, I've had enough of the rape, I've had enough of the abuse, I've had enough of the crooks being in charge, here's some righteous men that say we're going to fix it, count me in. Here's what I got, my time, I got a car, I can make phone calls. Just count me in to be part of what you're doing. That's what we need to see. And up till now, other than us four, I haven't seen it.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
No gain without risk. No gain without risk. And I say we're kind of revving everybody up because we have an opportunity to take a risk, a big risk. But it involves putting a lot of damn effort and resources on the table that we could just lose. It could just puff in the breeze. But it would be a hell of a freaking – it would be – that's our way of showing that, you know, we're willing to put our money where the mouth is. We're willing to go for it. And if we do that and God is behind what we're after, then he'll continue to support it. But then it's going to fall on everybody listening. When you see something happen, when you see a small move, come and ante something on the table. Come to the table. Don't just talk about it from a distance and want to watch it from your TV, because that's what everybody seems to want to do. Everybody wants somebody else to run around on the 6 o'clock news doing something crazy, not so they can get involved in it, but so they can watch it and enjoy it with a cold beer next to them. Well, the freaking it ain't like that. Nothing's ever been solved that way. Everybody knows it. And, you know, I think we have a small resources. I think we should take a risk, throw it on the table. But then to everybody else better come running in. because God needs to see that.
Here's the analogy. When David went down in there to face Goliath, he took a risk, didn't he? He took a risk, but he put it all in Father's hands. He said, I'm going to pick these stones up, and my goal is to put this stone right between Goliath's eyes. But he took the chance. He could have been run through with Goliath's spear or his sword. But he took the chance. He said, Father is not going to allow this to go on. I'm going to make a move and let the Father guide my stones to Goliath's head. But it took him going down into the valley.
And if you think about it, what we talked about the other day is we talked about a Goliath. We talked about the one of the biggest Goliaths that is freaking putting pressure on all of our federal fellow awake soldiers, all of them, whether they listen to it or not. Everybody that's awake is dealing with this damn Goliath. And we discovered that we have a stone that we can throw, and if we can get it in that one little weak spot, we might be able to bring that big beast down. So I say we go for it.
That's what they're looking for. That's what they're looking for. And if
everything to gain and nothing to lose.
We got nothing to lose at this point. Our country's gone. I mean, that's what people have to wake up to. It's over. Any idea of 401ks retiring to the Bahamas or having your tiki hut down in the Keys and you think that's going to – no, it ain't going to happen. All you got to do is look what happened
to Russia
100 years ago. That's right.
Well, hey guys,
or you're going to go hide in the woods.
So. All right.
Hey guys, and am I real job? I am seeing people lose 401ks like car keys.
That's right.
I'm not kidding you guys. Not kidding you. Yeah, I was on
Phil's
the phone
gotta
today.
Phil's got to go. Let's have a final word.
All right, Phil. I yield. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been a joy. Joy speaking to you. I'm willing to do anything it takes. I will quit my job in 5 minutes. To go someplace, and just let anybody out there know that I got your back, and I'm ready to tear this bastard down, and let the enemy know that there's an enemy out there that's going to destroy them, and it's been a pleasure talking to all of you. Yahweh bless you all, and hail victory.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
Yahweh
real
bless,
quick,
Phil.
You have my business cards.
I
want you to call me tomorrow or next day or over the weekend.
Okay.
I think I have some opportunity for you, and I'd like to get together and have lunch. But anyway, keep in touch. And same to you, Jay. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I need to run too, guys. It's run long for me, but I will call you tomorrow. I will call you tomorrow because, goddammit, I want to throw this damn rock. I want to send a bullet downrange against the enemy. I'm so tired of sitting around them while they pound the living crap out of us. I don't care. If all I'm doing is throwing a rock, I want to do something.
Well, Jay, what we talked about in our meeting, the code is in place, and Yahweh has provided other opportunities, which is so parallel. It was like, wow, I stayed up Monday until Tuesday at 2 a.m., I did it again last night, so I'm kind of dragging ass tired. But, yeah, guys, we need to have an off-air call, not that we're hiding anything, but we need to hash this out because we do have the technology weapons and the tenacity in this group to make a difference, whether it's to fix the world or it's just to fix we're us old guys in Florida can have a little fun going forward. Anyway,
yeah,
Dan, thanks for the airtime.
This is just the start. Yeah, this is just the start. We are going to fix the world because that's what we're here to do. And by God, we're going to do it. That's all there is to it. We were put here to fix the world and to run the world and to administer His law. And by God, that's what we're going to do. And we're about out of time. I know Jay's got to go, too. So final words, Jay.
I'd like to see Yahweh come back just as much as everybody else, but I know the only way He's going to do it is if we make it. If we make ourselves worthy of it. Let's make it happen. Let's do it.
All right. Very good. All right, Jay, I know you got to run. You probably have to get up in the morning, so you take care, and thanks for being with us.
Yahweh bless, and you'll be hearing from me tomorrow afternoon, Jimmy.
Very good.
Yahweh bless, Jay.
Thanks, man. Yeah. You guys take it easy.
Yeah, you guys take care. All right, Jimmy, final words, and then I'm going to close this in prayer, buddy.
My final words are this is a absolutely great virtual meeting, and I'm going to say Yahweh bless, and I look forward to your closing prayer, sir, and God bless you for your time.
All right,
time.
Jimmy. Yep, thank you, and Yahweh bless. Okay, I went ahead and just muted everybody because I know we went way, way past the normal time, and I want to thank everybody for sticking with us, all those good folks out there, and, of course, our good folks over at Bank versus UTV with Jimmy in Tampa there and his audience. Dear Heavenly Father, we put it all in your hands. You're our Father. You're our King. You're our Rock. You are our refuge. Without you, we're nothing. We know that this world is a terrible, rotten place, and it's gotten that way because the righteous have been sitting on their asses and not doing anything. We've been lied to, we've been deceived, but we've also allowed it to happen because of our laziness. We should have known. We should have known these people were liars, but we just didn't check. So we have to bite the bullet on that one. We have to take the blame, and we repent of that, Father, right now. We're here as your sons and daughters. There's been enough terrible, terrible things, and more keeps coming out. We want to set it straight. And Jay and the men here tonight, we've got an idea. We've got a plan. We want to be as King David. We want to go down there with those stones. We've got a Goliath and his army against us. We know that, but we don't care about that. One with Yahweh is a majority, and we want to be that majority. We're asking for your help, your guidance, and to answer our pleas. We stand here ready as the men, as Jimmy said, four men, old men in Tampa. We're just four, but we're four, and we stand together, and we want to do something. And we're asking our brothers and sisters out there to join in with us, either through support of mail, through whatever. It doesn't matter. It is an attitude. It's a condition of the mind and the heart. That's what Father wants to see. That's what we want to see. That's what it's going to take to be victorious. Material things don't matter. Those will come later. We'll have a plan when the time comes. Right now, we need the bodies. We need the heart. We need the soul of our people to stand up and say, enough is enough. And with that in mind, Father Yahweh, again, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings, because we've got plenty of them. We ask for guidance through the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would teach us to learn to work together as a team and to put our egos and our agendas to the side and know that we're in this as a family. This is a family affair, and our family extends beyond the borders of the United States. We know that. Our cousins are all over this earth. Bring us together, Father. Let this be the time. There's been enough heartache. There's been enough blood shed. Please, put an end to this and guide us towards that end. We offer up ourselves to you in sacrifice, that you can do with us as you see fit, whatever that might be. And we pray always that you give us a stiff backbone. Let us be honorable in all of our dealings. Let us be righteous in everything that we do and say. Let there not be any terrible or unrighteous thing in us. Cleanse us of all of that we are worthy of the task that's before us. We ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.